sing it with joy. You lift your hands, you thank Him, sing unto Him, and give Him the praise, and give Him the honor, and give Him the glory. Oh, sing the Lord. The Lord is my strength, my song, amen. Oh, yes. The Lord is my strength and my song. The Lord is my strength, my song. Oh yes, He has become my salvation. He has become my salvation. Oh, He has become my salvation. Oh, you sing it. The Lord is my strength, my song. Your hands and sing it, the Lord is my strength. The Lord, oh yes, is my strength and my song. Oh, the Lord is my strength. Oh yes. Oh, thank you, Lord.
God, we serve. We sing of His greatness. We sing of His praise. We express our gratitude towards Him. We acknowledge that there is none like unto Him. He is worthy of all the praise that we can give to Him tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Turn around and greet your brothers and sisters. I believe most everybody who's going to be in the services here tonight. We certainly thank God to be in His house tonight, and what a great thing it is. We look forward to be here in the presence of the Lord, and God give us this opportunity. We are thankful for that. Amen. We want to welcome everyone in the house of God, all the saints from Tobago. Amen. Praise His wonderful name, that we all could be gathered together in one place. Such a nice atmosphere here tonight. You all feel fine?
Yeah.
Everybody feel good. I think it certainly did us good to come in a little early and just relax before the Lord. It's still some pressures, but nevertheless, you know, that always go with a meeting. But nevertheless, we are thankful to be in His presence, and we feel good in our hearts. We look around, you see a brother standing there, he's well, he's next to you. Sister there, well, and you know, you're glad to see them in the house of God on a night like this. All the strangers, visitors, amen, the ministering song, certainly blessing our hearts and creating such a nice atmosphere, lift our expectations And I just trust that He will bless us, and whatever you're looking for tonight, that's according to His will, He'll give it to you. Amen. Oh, He'll give you faith to rise up, and may He heal the sick, deliver the captive. If there's anyone that may not be at the best tonight, physically, spiritually, where you might be, may you find grace tonight. May this great capstone of grace just walk through the chairs tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. May He hear a sincere cry, and may He be able to respond and give to you what you have need of tonight. Oh yeah. Just so happy to be in His presence. We think of the other saints from the big who couldn't be here. We want to hold them in our hearts. God will bless them and be with them also. Those out in Dominica, they are going to be there like themselves, by themselves, like they were during the year for most of it. That's kind of pretty hard on a night like this. We could all come here and, you know, remember them, and may God bless them. And we're certainly going to try this coming year to do more than we did last year for them. We want to pull out all stops, and they too are learning to rise up and be faithful to the place out in Grenada and St. Vincent, where the saints are gathered tonight also. May God richly bless us all together in His divine presence. Then we have the bride across the face of the earth. In every nation, kindred, tongue, and tribe, God's people is gathered. And a time like this is always a special time for God's people. And we certainly want to be in the Spirit, where we can hear, we can receive what the Spirit is saying to us. Let us bow our hearts with prayer. I want to encourage you to believe and look to Him as we would pray, holding your request in your heart and knowing that God is faithful. There's recording angels in the meeting tonight, taking record of all the requests. We know God will bring everything to pass in its season, in this time that we are living. God, this is the time when all prayers shall be fulfilled for us. And so we know that this is the time to pray, because the evening sacrifice, the message of the hour, the original atonement that has been restored, has been offered up for us. Our prayers have value. It comes up in the presence of God by revelation and through the blood. God sees and hears. Father, we thank You, dear God, tonight, standing here in the sanctuary, standing here in Your presence. So good to see the saints gathered in tonight, coming in early, oh God, and getting in the spirit of worship. We pray, dear God, that Your great presence and Your blessings will pour out in a very special way in every heart and life. Lord, as You look down upon us here, You would certainly remember from the greatest to the least. We ask You, O God, that there will be not one that will be left out tonight, Father. God, You are God rich in mercy. Your people are needy, O God, and our needs are diverse, but we stand with confidence because we know there's an all-sufficient sacrifice, and we come in the presence of the omnipotent God. We know that You love us, Father. More and more we are becoming persuaded of this. That love drives out all fear from our hearts. So He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Perfect love casteth out all fear. We thank You for this great elective love being revealed to us. Takes the fears and the doubts out. And faith works by love, and it brings in the faith of the Son of God. The faith that pleases You, Father. We ask You to remember those out in the islands, them across the face of the earth. So many of them all down in New Zealand, in Kenya, Lord, in Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Chile, oh God. Lord, way out in North America, across Europe, into Russia, happen to know in this country, the countries where you have let us go, down in Australia. We know they are gathered, Father. Remember your children, Lord. God, as we stand here tonight, how we desire you just have the preeminence in this service. God, I acknowledge my insufficiency standing here before such a great people, oh God. What can I look to and depend upon, Lord? God, there is nothing, Father. I just look to you, Lord. I rely and depend upon you. Lead me, Lord, and I will follow. Put your word in my mouth and give me unction and utterance to speak it. You know what we have need of. You know all that we'll go through this coming year. We so want to be under divine leadership. And we know when you can lead us in a night like this, in the days to come, we'll be able to look back at this junction time as a milestone, just like we did last year, and see how out of that one night, Lord, spiritual astronauts ending to the 0 hour, we see what a whole year of messages came out of that one night. Dear God, may another burst of the Roman candle go forth. Even out of tonight, Lord, we'll be able to look back at this night. And Lord, know that you truly did lead us. And you who by your great foreknowledge knew what was going to come, spoke those things that was meaningful and necessary for us. Have your blessed way now. Take full charge and get honor and glory. Meet every need. Surely you see every heart and you know the requests in every heart, Father. Lord, we'll be coming to your table tonight. Prepare our hearts as we sit in your presence under the word. Give us the grace to hear, to be in the spirit and hear in the spirit. May you bless both the speaker and the hearer. May you reveal your word and quicken by the spirit to us. We give you thanks in advance, so we ask these mercies. In Jesus' wonderful and precious name, amen. God, which is blessed, I'd like to invite your attention tonight to the book of Revelation chapter 7. If anyone just came in, I want to welcome you in the presence of the Lord in the house of God tonight. And may the Lord Jesus certainly pour out the riches of his grace unto you. Revelation chapter 7. And if you notice, this comes right in between the seals. Between the sixth seal and the seventh seal. This comes in. Revelation 6, 12 to 17 was the sixth seal. And then this is an interval. It's placed in the seventh chapter. Mathematically, it reveals a happening. It's a calling and a sealing between the sixth and seventh seal. Take note as we read. And after these things, those that which preceded under the breaking of the six seals here, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And then he goes on to mention those 12 tribes and show that there were 12,000 from 12 tribes, and 12 by 12 is 144, And you notice that Dan and Ephraim was missing, and Reuben, Joseph rather, were put back there, and Levi was put back in there to make up for those two. But those names were blotted out from under heaven. Ephraim and Dan, there was an idolatry. And then we'd like to continue reading in Revelation chapter 8. See what follows the sealing. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Silence under the seventh seal. And I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. Hebrews 9:4 tells you about that golden censer. It was an instrument that belonged to the Holy of Holies that the high priest would use on the Day of the Atonement when he went into the Holy of Holies. And there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. This angel is not an ordinary angel, because this angel has the instrument of the high priest. And this angel is offering incense, the work of the high priest in the Day of Atonement. And he is at the golden altar which was before the throne. And in the earthly tabernacle, there's a golden altar just before the veil, which is the altar of incense. There's a brass altar on the outside of the holy place in the courtyard, which was the altar of burnt offering, the sacrificial altar. But the throne was within the Holy of Holies. And the throne was the mercy seat. It was a mercy seat when blood was sprinkled upon it. When there was no blood, it was a judgment throne. So it was a throne of mercy and judgment. Same throne. With blood, it became a throne of mercy. Now, I probably come with boldness before the throne of grace, you'll obtain mercy. But when there is no blood, it's a throne of judgment. So what's the position? What's the altar? What's the incense? What's the instrument? What's the service and the function that this angel is carrying out? And in heaven, there's only one mediator. That's Jesus Christ. There's only one high priest who ministers in the heavenly sanctuary. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer. After he offered the prayers, look at this now. The angel took the censer and filled it with fire off the altar. And that fire was the coals of fire that consumed the sacrifice on the brass altar. So this angel, this is the functions of the priest. If you don't know the service that was performed by the priest, what his service was and how he performed that service, this would mean nothing to you. But if you know the service that he performed on the Day of the Atonement, you will understand the ministration of the priest as he discharges the function in that sacred office as a mediator, standing there as an intercessor, doing the work of intercession. He's offering the incense, he's offering the prayers. But then that comes to an end. And now he takes fire. Right here we are seeing a picture in the heavenly sanctuary when intercession comes to an end. For us to go in the rapture, intercession must come to an end. For us to be changing our bodies, intercession must come to an end. That door of mercy must close. When the squeeze comes, watch the third podium, it will go to the loss. When the rain fell in the days of Noah, the door of the ark was done swing shut 7 days before. Is that right? You couldn't come in or go out. It was shut. Before Noah was taken above the judgment and come back and knew it, the door was shut. One day that door will shut. Year before, right here, I preached the ark, the rain, and the dove, telling you to know the secret. When that time comes, it's in the day of Noah. Tonight, I hope to show you by the grace of God, there's another place we can find those things. That's what we are looking at here. And that's why, do your utmost best to give your undivided attention, because I'm preaching something that's very, I wanted to strike with the, in the way it ought to strike. Don't get too tense and gloomy, just, Lord, speak to my heart. Let me in the spirit, let me hear. And he will do it for you. And the angel took the censer. The prayers was finished now. Prayers was offered. And there was the prayers of all saints. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire off the altar and cast it into the earth. This is judgment. And there were voices, thunderings, and lightnings, and an earthquake. This is judgment. Intercession is over. Judgment is being poured out in the earth. And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may have your seat. The strike is settling. I asked the pulpit early because I need that time to switch over when the time comes, and I don't want it to be rushed. I want us to really change over smooth, and I trust God will help me. And I don't know how the service will go. I have no plans for how would go. I will have a desire how I'd like it to go, but you know, you never could tell. We just want to follow him. You know, from the last time we were observing our Old Year's Night service, which was last year, it was a very special service, I would think. Not in the sense so much of maybe outstanding, even though it was outstanding, but because of what had transpired 5 months before. And what had transpired 5 months before was what had taken place on September the 11th in the year 2001. And from September the 11th, 2001, to the December the 31st, God was dealing with us and giving us messages, focusing our attention upon things that laid in the word that may not have had the meaning and significance. And without the meaning and significance, it would never even have the effect upon us had not there been the event that took place on September the 11th, 2001. Because we read Isaiah 30, and since there was no two towers fall, that wouldn't stand out as a great prophecy. The day the two towers fall, the day of great slaughter. But because of the event and the Holy Spirit giving us direction to go right into the word, bringing those things out, It took on greater meaning and significance. And it became something that drove us into the Word to see things that begin to really startle us. And we think of the messages that came, weighing the balances, and extermination for expansion, and the true cause behind the present troubles, and you know, the royal seed in the house, hidden in the house of God, and message after message after message God was giving us to let us see that what had happened was something major. It was prophesied, and even according to the nations of the world, a line of demarcation had been drawn into the earth that the world will never be the same after September the 11th in the year 2001. They had their own meaning in what they planned to do. To us as believers, we saw another meaning, because what we saw was the outcome of laws being passed, of powers being evoked, and of things being signed by governments, and there's a tightening up, an identification of people, and a pressure upon nations that any nation, and this is not church now, nation is far beyond that. Look at my churches we have in this one nation. That any nation, any government that is considered to support terrorism, be involved in terrorism, harbor terrorists, will be dealt with severely. Right now, hundreds of thousands of troops, big heavy artillery, warships, everything is moving into position in the Gulf, because the world is in a time of great turmoil and tension. On the other hand, we see North Korea rising up there and going and being involved also in nuclear weapons of mass destruction. And these things are signs of the time that we are living in. We see the tension, we see men are filled with fear, we see the pressures upon the nation, we see the wars and the rumors of wars. We see circumstances and conditions that is causing more and more laws to be passed. And they are passing swifter than you can even read about it. And many, many things that's happening, even right around us in Venezuela there. You see the tensions and the pressures. And that's not just happening just like that. That involves oil. Now, Venezuela is the fifth largest producer of oil in the world. They are part of OPEC. And you know, this is a commodity that the beast must have under his control to control the world. If you understand world economics, if you understand the time we are living in, if you understand why wars are being fought, when Nimrod was fighting war, wasn't just for war. People fight war for resources. When they get resources, they get control. When they get control, they can begin to dictate and begin to express their own will upon others. Then that reshapes the society and brings it into the place where the power that has the control and has the ability to do this, and that power is being revealed in the Bible, is identifying the Bible. We are living in a time when their power is to control the economics of the world. We are living in a time in the Bible where that power, that Babylonian power, that fourth kingdom will devour the whole earth. She will destroy wonderfully. Amen. And she will control the world, trade and economics. And then you have to know the things that generate wealth in any society to know how you control economics and trade. Well, we have gone through this over and over and over in many messages. We are not thinking about those things, but I'm just sort of trying to set the background, because to bring this message, and I've been holding this back for the last, since we started in this series, I kind of touched a little bit on it on the 400 the golden altar, and I've been holding back this because I'm wondering whether I should preach it or not, but then I kind of feel I need to speak on it, because I've spoken before, but I needed to speak on it again in the light of what is happening. And that's why I'm trying to background for you how we have come, how we have traveled. Probably I look back at where I was coming from, and I saw where I was coming down to. If you're being led by God, you're coming in a pattern. If God's really leading you, you will know how you're coming, because there's a leadership unfolding from the word. It's not a wild leadership. And scripture have to break by revelation. Scripture have to open by inspiration. That's why the written mysteries was breaking from 58 to 62. He will start from serpent seed all the way to the messenger in the latter rain. He will sow the seed of the entire Bible. God was giving light to open those things, tie the loose ends together. Then the time came to introduce the Messiah, to reveal the Son of Man, to bring back the headstone, to declare the fullness of the word is coming to existence. And so the messenger knew he was moving from one stage to the next. He could look back and say, I was interpreting the writing on the mountain, but then all of a sudden I reached a place, something dropped in my hand. This is no longer me with my Bible now. This was coming now by angelic visitation. This was coming now by the sovereign grace of God. This was coming according to prophecy of a promise in the Bible, that when that time comes, the Lamb will step forth and take the book. Because that revelation cannot be given. No theologian, no Bible school student, no great man, no prayer warrior could bring that revelation. The Lamb himself will bring it when he steps forth to take that book. And he will do that in the days when the seventh angel is on the earth. Because the mysteries is the message of the seventh angel. And when he takes that book, he breaks those seals and give it to the seventh angel. Then he'll begin to song that, and we will know, the elect will know, a prophet is in the land. Not just a prophet who's seen vision. Not just a prophet of signs and wonders. No, but the end time prophet who is to bring the final revelation for the final quickening. Amen. To open up that seventh seal, to call the bride out, to separate the bride, to show how to prepare for great translation fate. That messenger is going to stand, and his message was going to bring these mysteries, and these mysteries were going to literally turn the heart of the children back to the faith of the fathers. There was going to be some people who didn't have faith, but when they recognized this prophet, and when they begin to understand what that prophet is saying, people will start to be changed. And man like fishermen, and man like tax collector, and woman like prostitute, amen, when they see the Messiah that Elijah revealed, man was going to rise up and come into faith that they never had. Man was going to learn and understand the laws of the supernatural like they never did, because now there'll be a voice of omnipotence speaking and revealing those things. Amen. This kind don't go except by prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. And the kingdom of heaven is likened unto this. Amen. And he will teach about theophanies. And he will teach about angels. And he will teach about dimensions. And he will teach about visions. And he will teach about using God's gift. Amen. And he will teach all these things. And God using his own gift to raise a people up from a realm of church. From a realm of church and Sadducee and Pharisee that made the word of God of no effect. And he will bring them under expectation. The word I've spoken to you have made you clean. Hallelujah. Father, these you have given me, they have heard my word. Amen. They believe that I am he. Glory. My. And Mary Magdalene, a prostitute. Amen. And brother, here's Peter, a fisherman. And here's Matthew, a tax collector. And here was Thomas with the doubting problems. And here was Philip, a farmer. And here was Nathaniel, a religious man in whom there was no guy looking for truth. Amen. But something began to happen. Amen. The day spring from on high had visited them. Glory be to God. The light had come. The present coming of the great light. The greatest light that ever shone since creation. Walk on the pages of the Bible and in Galilee of the Gentiles. Amen. Light was sprung up and they that sat in darkness saw great light. A man who had no form, no comeliness, no beauty that we should desire, but never a man speak like that man. Amen. That man speaking began to open the Bible. He was a sower. A sower went forth to sow. He knew he had the seed. He wasn't going fumbling for a message. He had the messages. He had the seed. He was planting. He was speaking a Bethesda series, a Galilee series, a Jerusalem series. He was planting the field. Amen. Glory be to God. That the seed of promise was finding a place to grow. Amen. And when the seed of promise finds a place to grow, you watch faith come forth. Amen. And how that word kept them focused. Don't rejoice, the devil is subject to you. Rejoice, your names are written in heaven. My name? Yes. And he could tell them about predestination, all that the Father had given. He could tell them, you will be with me in the regeneration. Here come a prophet. He ain't talking about the next crusade. He ain't talking about you will be with me over here in America somewhere. He'll say, we'll be in the millennium. We'll be in the new Jerusalem. He will be things that ought to be future home. Hallelujah. Blood pains. This world is again falling apart. We are going to another civilization. Oh, thank you, Lord. He began to speak and raise us up into a realm where we had never been before. History that looked like dead history. That meant nothing to the world. It was just military warfare. It was people bust up the earth. When he opened the Bible, he said, birth pains. Whoa, whoa, whoa. World War I, World War II, World War III. Here he is. How many years after the war had stopped? Mysteriously, four angels holding the winds. That wind blowing the earth and the sea and the trees. Is that right? Then here comes a man. What kind of preacher is this? He comes and say, that was when the war stopped mysteriously. The 11 minutes to 11 o'clock on the 11th day of the 11th month, 1918. Amen! Because 2 years before, the whirlwind spoke from the tree and said, don't drink or smoke. Amen. There's a work for you to do when you get older. Oh my. And we have seen that seventh angel in this place. And it's repeating itself. We see one like John with the spirit of Elijah. We see one revealed, the Lamb, behold, the Lamb of God. Amen. A word begin to plant in our hearts. We begin to raise up out the dark denominationalism. Is that right? We begin to realize, I'm elect of God. I ain't fear about being lost. I am saved. I was always saved. Hallelujah! I wasn't seeking salvation. I was seeking redemption. Amen! The net only caught me. I was in the same water with the lizard and the eel and the crab and the alligator. But I was a rainbow trout. Yes, sir! And the gospel net caught me. I am what I am by the grace of God. You are what you are by the grace of God. Because he said, my sheep will hear my voice. All that the Father had given me will come. And predestination. We begin to get faith to believe predestination. We begin to get understanding to see our life was strange since we were little children growing up. Amen. Not even religious. There was something about us wanting the unseen. Amen. Hallelujah. Here we are tonight, faith stimulating. Here we are tonight, focus. Here we are tonight, now grow up from Gugu and Dada. And now we say, look Isaiah 30, when the towers fell. Look over here, and the streets shall be filled with rubbish. And how much $1 million a day to clean that thing. Amen! It was prophecy in the Bible. And then only as not the Holy Spirit say, now spiritual astronauts entering into the 0 hour. Astronaut faith you must have. Faith to climb beyond the air pocketing and all the storms of life. Faith that can bring it up like Abraham, where you consider that your own body now dead. Where you stagger through and believe that kind of astronaut faith. Faith like Enoch, you walk with God and was not. Faith like Elijah, you can be translated even though you have your moody spells, even though you have the time and inspiration, you can say, oh God, best you take my life, best I dead. And then God take the belt out there, shut your mouth. Here's some cake, eat that. You're not going to die, you're going to get wrapped in faith. Amen. Glory be to God in the high. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yes, sir. My! Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. My. And we sat here, and the Holy Spirit said, except the corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it'll abide alone. You ain't going nowhere, but you have to have faith to die. You have to have faith to believe the potentials are in you. The potentials are in you. That corn say, Jacob, do I have it in me? He said, I call you, you have it in you. Amen. Glory. My. Abraham, you have it in you. I who live, who bear my father and Lot? He said, yes. Little time from now, when Papa go and Lot go, you'll be with Melchizedek, getting bread and wine. Amen. You'll be walking with Jehovah. And you'll be unfolding the heavenly mysteries from the dust of the earth to the stars of heaven. You'll be nursing from El Shaddai. You'll be sitting in the tent door and watch Elohim turn the back to the tent. Amen. And begin to reveal the secrets and open the mysteries. Hallelujah. You have it in you. But you have to fall in the ground and die. You have to put away Ishmael. Amen. You have to trust me and obey me to walk into this. When Moses stretched for the rudder, walk everybody! You think, I so unfortunate, I so pessimist. As I step in, the water going to come back. They shut your mouth. I rebuke that pessimism. Give me your hand here. We're going over by the grace of God. Yes, sir! Walk over on the other side, stand on the rock. See the waters cover the Egyptians after every Israelite come over. He said, pessimism? You are under my feet. I ain't afraid you no more. Amen. Aye. But they had to obey. They had to obey. A man standing on that dry stick said, walk. You have to know the leader. You have to know the ministry God put them under. Caleb comes to Joshua and said, Joshua, I understand the last message. Tell me, forget one. Now it's time to divide inheritance. He said, Daiso? He said, you catch it? He said, well, remember what Moses said about me? He said, yes, I was there. Wasn't I? Was it two of us bring a bunch of grapes? He said, well, I want my Montgomery. It's a strong display for war. George said, Caleb, that's what I always love you for. Amen. That's what I love you for, brother. There's something about you that's always different. You're holy, follow the Lord. You wasn't like Korah then. You wasn't like Abiram then. Hey! Something there. He knew I could have what God promised me. Now! He understood the ministry he was under. Hattie Wright understood the ministry she was under. Now they say, you have to know them who labor among you. You have to know God set up his plan. You have to understand the importance of being in harmony with the word. That's why teachers have to come to fill their thinking. To get rid of private interpretations and ideas. So you can line up with God's word. And not lean on your own understanding. Amen. Sometimes that's he said, a shaking down for me. It's a shaking down for you. And when you get shaken down, then we'll be shaking the place. And we'll make it by the grace of God. Amen. Bye. So look, that seventh angel was to reveal the mysteries. John gave them the whole word. When John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God," John's message was the statue of a perfect man. He introduced Jesus, the Messiah. He introduced the super sign. He introduced the man that could turn on the light. John knew his message. And Brother Peter and them begin to understand what John introduced to them. We have grown to understand what Malachi 4, the seventh angel, revealed unto us. We have learned to follow that one he revealed to us, and how to take a hold of him, and how to obey him, and how to listen to what he says. When he says, "Not I saying that," I have to hear the tape. He said that to me. And he said, "Go and say just so." And it's not a man you're feeding on, it's your filling body word. He was telling us. He said, "It's not my message, it's his message. Don't add or take away. Don't splice no tape. Otherwise your name will be taken out." And he put a curse and he warned them. Because they can't tamper with it. He was to introduce the Lamb. The whole Lamb. That's why he says rapturing faith laying on these messages. We have it. We have rapturing faith in our hands. Just like the milk was in El Shaddai to nurse all the way to a new body to be changed. To meet the promised son. But Abraham had to, when El Shaddai exposed the breast and said, "Nurse for me," what was in El Shaddai had to be nursed out into Abraham to bring the faith to be changed. To bring the change. He said, "Can you nurse? Can you take a hold of the word?" When he exposed the breast and bring the messages to you, can you get on that message and begin to draw? There's an immunity that passes from the mother to the child. It's not no man-made mixture. It's coming from El Shaddai, the breasted one. Is that right? As you nurse from him, you see the new name. As you nurse from him, you understand the mystery of the Holy Ghost circumcision. Amen! As you nurse from him, you start to understand your times and your seasons. Is that right? Exactly. I trust that down to this year, you understand. I'm just recapping a little bit to tell you when we come there, die faith, a landmark for us this year. Power of true confession. Be like Jonah. Call them symptoms lying vanities. Amen. And look towards the house of prayer, the holy temple. Amen. Glory. My. We come to the ministry of angels. Raise the level of awareness. Church can't be the same no more. Church can't be the same no more. Because we're nearing the rapture. The world is falling apart. But the enemy, a repeat performance of all diabolical cunning and cruelty. Laws being passed. Jezebel, tighten up things. Amen. The Lamb, America, the beast that comes to the earth. Speaking with the voice of the dragon. My! What God getting the people ready? While that's happening, where's the church? Where's the church catching the mystery? Where's the church understanding the hour? Where's the church knowing the position? Where's the church coming to perfect faith? Where's the church knowing the plan of God? Where's the church knowing the time and season? God revealed them things. I challenge anybody to tell me, could tell me God revealed them things. You'll be asleep when the thunder's thundering here. Seven thunders thundering in Bataria. And seven thunders thunder in Abia country. Revealing rapturing faith. That's right. Can I get a witness? That's nothing but the truth. Yes, sir. God give us faith this year. God raise the level of awareness this year. God give us joy this year. God said, break through the hindrances of your faith this year. God says, sail as well in spite of trouble. I'll make it dark. I'll bring circumstances. I want to hear you say, all is well. All is well. And go on forward. My. Yes, sir. saw Thomas Edison. I saw Thomas Edison. But I begin to find the copper wire. I saw him begin to bring the light bulb, amen. I saw him begin to bring the light socket. I saw lights begin to turn on in men and women houses. That's right. He was looking at Benjamin Franklin. He didn't just want Benjamin Franklin hat. He didn't want to wear Benjamin Franklin shoes. But when Benjamin Franklin discovered power, fished out of the sky, and knew it was there, that could light up the whole world, Thomas Edison said, that's what I want. That's what I want. And he kept working at it. Perseverance. And it began to break out in the message. And we began to hear things coming out here. Amen. Why? Because somebody was staying with it. Somebody believe it. Somebody need to sacrifice. Somebody need to lock themselves away. But and shut in with God. The Father, something is here. Dig back this well. Dig back that well. Dig back this well. And up come the water. And Isaac, dig again the same wells that Father Abraham dig. Oh my. Yes, sir. An inspiration to strike the songwriters. The cloud and sunset mountain. Oh, they know it all the time. But now they're going to say, when that cloud came, he brought back keys to unlock the door to perfect faith. Why? Because they begin to see something. The songwriter says, something is breaking. Between mortal and mortal, a man caught a vision. He's in search of another land. Yes, sir! That's Bible. But they sang that for Deborah and Barak. They sang that for David. Amen. Glory be to God. They recognize people in the midst performing exploits under the leadership of the Holy Ghost. They recognize the Holy Ghost moving in human instrumentality. And they are part of it. And they get inspired. And they propel them into another realm. While some are asleep in the seat. Some say, something has happened to me. And it coming through that wire. That's a wire. That's a copper wire. Amen. There's current on the line. Gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of revelation. Gifts of demonstration. Amen. Yes, sir. Vocal gifts ought to be here in the body. As people learn to heal. As people learn to become a copper wire. That can conduct the electricity. That now they yield to the Holy Ghost. That can reverence the Holy Ghost. That can discern the body of the Lord. Perfect healing. All the messes. Tear open the roof and drop your friend in. We begin to catch things. We begin to catch things this year. Results that follows angelic visitation. Oh my, when the water begins to move. Can you tell it's moving tonight? There's a movement in the water that is not normal breeze. Because it moving different. That's the angel dropped down in a season. My. Then from there, we're going to break in the realm. Samuel. Go to the book of Samuel. Perfect strength, perfect weakness. Sickness. I'll have to kill the flesh of it. I'll have to bring them infirmity. To open up some more things. To bring into the fellowship of the sufferings. To bring the character, more the character in there. I'll open things. Consider my strength in you. My God coming here. And brother, look at it. The book of Samuel jump out when the very thing is happening in the land. And the spirit went back and get the sons of the prophet. Get the contention of the elders. Get the time. Get the work of the Antichrist spirits. Get the condition of the church. Amen. Get the cry of Hannah. God bring us to Mizpah. He said, come and gather you at Mizpah. Where's Mizpah, brother? 1 Samuel said, me bring us. Yeah, the Wednesday night. called the people out Wednesday night. And we came here. And down come the Holy Spirit. Amen. And show us how to get an Ebenezer. In the days at the end of the judges. Amen. When God is going to bring the fragmented, disunified body into real unity before a king is raised up in Israel. Amen. When the church is going to come and repossess all that she lost. Is that right? Real believers in the Holy Ghost who don't just hear a message and can't keep it. The ones who know what the Spirit is saying. The ones who know they're born for this. The ones who know my heart is fixed and my soul follow hard after you. Real believers. They say, God, you're saying something. God, you're saying something. I'm looking then to repossess what I lost. I lost my prayer life over here. I lost my fellowship with good brothers and sisters. I lost my visiting the weak and supporting and strengthening those that have fallen away. I lost my joy. Amen. The things are lost. I'm looking for you to come back, Lord. How is it going to come back? I see the burnt sacrifice going up. I see the water being poured out. Lord, you tell me how to pour my life. Like the water where I can't get it back. Because I always give up my life all year's night and the first week after in the new year, I pick it back up. But Lord, I want to pour it out where I can't pick it back up no more. Because I want to come into the reality of this blessing. My. Do you want that? You longing for that? May that be your new year present. Amen. This God, I show you. There's nothing. I'll get it in a while. Let me just let you know where I'm going. Come down here from September 11th, come over into this year. And then when he struck that year, I've got a couple of the brothers privately in the church. I said, look, the inspiration, I notice you all can follow. I notice you all can hear what the Spirit has been saying. Took Brother Winston aside and said, you start prayer services. And so we had to get the place consumed with the Spirit of prayer. It was coming to me. Oh my. And I know I get in that desk sometimes and take that knife, but I just had a flake. When you're done, you can't pray. So I see him. I say, no, you come. You take it. You come a little more soft, a little more nice. You talk to them where they don't get under too much tension and pressure. Elisha had a man. He could give a vial of oil. Go and anoint this one. Go and do that. Why? But Elisha was watching Elijah. The church is watching Jesus. You don't know one man from Jesus yet. The church is what Jesus. Christ in the church. And in the church have men gifts. And you know what can be used where? It's capacity to measure how it can be used. When it needs to be used. Your brother Sam. I said, Sam, I need your help now. Yeah, we have to run along a certain line where we cut him from. Has he been a blessing? Yeah. Yes, sir. They could obey, they could follow. They understand what you're doing. You know why? Then we was coming through in the meetings and something wasn't hitting right. People still coming, but the church wasn't getting it. Holy Spirit says, get in the word. It's time for prayer. Find the original thing. God in the cloud, gift of Moses, put it in the tabernacle. An altar of incense, a golden altar. So much high, so much cubit high, so much cubit wide, with horns, with gold. Build it this way. Spirit come that morning, two altars in the tabernacle, linking them together. But when that message went forth, we know we come into something. We know that was a thunder from God. Next week, God come back four horns on the golden altar. Another thunder from God. Things in the Bible. I long to grasp and hold and define. Burst open the pulpit here. I sit in the back. I said, I thought we were moving. I said, you see what happened there? You understand what those things are? You see that in the scripture there? You know what that means? You know what's going on in this church? You see what's happened in the world out there with the President Bush and them? You see what happened since September 11th? You see what's coming now? You see what happened between us here during that time? So we need to walk. Yeah. Because sometimes the word is coming out and people thinking nice message, good. I never see that, so boy, they're not understanding in the spirit. So they think, well, it's the next thing pass, and they're looking for God because they don't know scripture what is to happen. Recognize that is breaking. But Abraham preached 7 seals. He said, I waited all week for somebody to tell me they understand what happened. Most sublime scripture. Creation for 6,000 years, waiting for that. And nobody knew. I'm preaching in it. And when they ask questions about shorty pajama and colors and all kinds of different things, they're asking questions instead of asking questions about those things. He says, right in the midst, and they're stumbling over it. So I sit them there in the back and talk to a few. You see what's happening? This happened. This happened. It proved it wasn't a fluke. It proved it wasn't just a little wild thing. When that next message came, and then from there, it came again. House of prayer from all nations. Priest, royal priesthood. Things you know in the Bible, but not the way he's saying it. Not the magnitude of it. Not the way he's applying it. Because there's designed to move the church up in another place. And that's why coming here, I was holding this back and I was wondering, this can be a shaking. Is the people ready? Do they understand? Can they remember the junctions coming on through the years? Can they remember certain junction messages when those things were breaking? Do they have discernment to see the same Holy Spirit come back in another season, pick up the same revelation and go further with it? I said, brother, you preached that so and so. But it come back on another level here. We move into the circle. Like the path you couldn't see back there. We have to come here now for it to break further. The spiritual is catching so. And that's what the minister will be watching to see people get. Now don't bend yourself out of shape. You see, it has something to you. That's why when it comes to the word, you have to believe him who God sent you. You have to try and figure out and learn everything. You have to believe who God sent you. But God is opening in a way to a place, because the one who in front walking forth has to know where he's going, how he's getting there. You have to know what God's doing so you don't get deceived. See, somebody, because God can make the light shine so bright. And when somebody comes with another thought, they can say, that is off the word. That don't fit here, that don't fit here, that don't fit here. Run that from Genesis to Revelation. That can't fit. When God breaks that, you know, sometimes you don't get everything, but you can see flashes. You sometimes you can't contain it because you don't have the capacity to hold all that, because you ain't called to preach it. You just called to believe it. You take the part that belongs to you and it lifts you up where you ought to be. You learn to get your anointing for your ministry. Musicians get theirs, singers get theirs, deacons get theirs, trustees get theirs, helps get theirs. Everybody get theirs. It's one loaf of bread. And when the bread has been broken, he's been revealed. Then we came here. And I'm speaking to that in the cleansing of the sanctuary. The cleansing of the sanctuary. And I have a little subject, the sealing of the elect in the day of atonement. Under the seventh seal and the seventh trumpet. The sealing of the elect. They have to be sealed before the sanctuary is cleansed. Moses had to get them under blood. Noah had to get them shut in the ark before the judgment could be poured out. Before the dead angel could pass, Moses had to get them under the blood. Jesus had to get them filled with the Holy Ghost. He sent the apostles, don't go to the Samaritans, don't go to the Gentiles, go to the lordship of the house of Israel. Because the time is coming that one stone will remain standing in this temple. Get them sealed up with the Holy Ghost. Then after they got them, Paul and them dust their feet. They said, now we go to the Gentiles. We finish with the Jews. We finish with the Jews. Now we go to the Gentiles. Men who was in the service of God, under the leadership of God, understood how the service was being carried out. Brothers and sisters, I don't want to put over myself as some know-it-all. That's not the talk. But I can't see it clear in the world and then pray, I ain't see it and I ain't sure. When I know it's that my own mind didn't figure it out. And when God comes, service after service, and break those things, when it seems for years and years, I can see, but I ain't seen this part too clear. This part need to open up more. Where does the scripture fit for this part? And when God's trying to break those things and see how he did those things down through the years to this very present time, that's what gets me fearless. That's why I speak the way I speak. And if you listen to me, you know I speak scripture. I'm not speaking like a wild man. I'm speaking in the Bible. I'm speaking the message. I'm tying that together and opening that word. When I speak it, I open it. Because I'm conscious, I know how to speak it to open it. It's given to me to do that. I have a key in my hand. You say, what you say? Go and read key to the door. He put keys, the key in the hand of the apostles. Their menu, Paul opening and a legend out in the scriptures. This Christ must need be suffered. They can open the word and prove them things in the Bible. That's right. God has given that. You think that it's my looks? They try to kill me? It's for this word. And it's caused religious. It shakes! It caused religious disturbance. And when it comes for the too powerful, it has intimidated people. They feel that kind of magnitude should be for the prophet. But they see a man standing there flying up in them places and seen with that kind of vision. They can't understand that. You know why? It's new to them. They're still in the Pentecostal hangover. If they understand who the prophet was, God, but he was an eagle. The Gentile eagle. Moses and Elijah are Jewish eagles. But between the Gentile eagle and the Jewish eagles, where the carcass is, there will it be? Wait until them eagles, them sons of God, begin to catch the mysteries. A bride with prophetic insight in the last days. Speaking the mystery out of the book of Revelation. Out of Daniel. Out of Leviticus. Out of Hebrews. Them books that break my mind. But watch the Holy Spirit going and tied to the message of the hour. And if you really are a searcher, you find when reformers try to prove and break there, and they couldn't get there. And you say, how are you getting there? How are you tying that? And great men like Knox and Finney and Carlson and Luther couldn't tie that. Because God took the spirit of Moses and put on Joshua and Caleb. God took the spirit of Elijah and put on Elisha. God took the spirit of Jesus and put on the apostles. God took the spirit of the prophet and put on the bride. God the spirit and the bride said the same thing the spirit said to the prophet. That's right. That's why you have to have faith in that. It's either I'm saying that and I'm false, or I'm saying that's the truth. But if you have any light in you, you can't hear this word and think it's an ordinary thing. No, sir. That's too clear, brother. That is too clear. That is too straight. You know the hard part is? It doesn't give faith. It is getting strong. It is bringing unity. It'll make you start to say what is yours, what God promised. It'll start to make you walk in them places and say, that's mine. Not some kind of convention thing. Somebody put a nice bit of a convention. No. Every day you're walking, looking, searching, pressing, ending, fighting, taking, living inside of you. Because that's what you call for. You're going into the land. You cross over on that prophet. But after Joshua died, They're still in the position yet. And heads of them tribes. So that take men, Caleb, Judah, and Simeon. Say, come, we go in and get ours. Caleb, take Othniel and them. Went down and say, the city of the books is all right. Yes, sir. You see our scripture? You see our scripture? God help me. I've all. As good as all should be enough. Brian, I know the time when it flow away. I flow when the time flow away. Look like you flow away yourself. Revelation 7:1-4, sealing. Revelation 8:1-6, end of intercession and then judgment. A sealing and then judgment. A sealing that brings the end of intercession and then judgment. Your seventh trumpet is part of your seventh seal. Revelation 7 is the mystery of the seventh trumpet. The sealing of 144,000. Daniel 12. In that day shall Michael stand. Who is Michael, the archangel? What will he do? Deliver the name song written in the book. What is Revelation 10? Another mighty angel. Christ, Michael. What is he doing? He has an open book in his hand. He cried with a loud voice over the lion roared. What is he doing? Delivering the names. Amen. What happened to them over there? It's happened to us here. Is that right? Then he sealed the name in their forehead. That same name that was in the star. In Revelation 19, he knows his own. It's a claiming work. When you have the book, it's a claiming work. You are claiming those that belong to you. You come for your own. You get that? It's an inheritance. It's a family business. So some of them children have amnesia. He said, I come to get you. The father sits down in the house. He said, time for my boy to come home. The war. But they're transporting some of the soldiers. And the guy's all shell shocked. Put on knees I'm talking about. And he don't know where he's at. What's your name, soldier? Where you live? Who's your father? Your family? You remember anything? He's in the war. He lost his memory, amnesia. He don't know who he is. But that train is ordained to make a stop. And a kind-hearted captain says, let the men go out and stretch their legs. All them soldiers stretching, who go for water, who take a hot dog on the hot dog stand, who head bun up, who hand bun up, who on a crutch. And this fella, he's drifting. He's like a zombie. Drifting this party, out to this party, drift over here in this religion. Give out to this religion. He come by this water tank. And his eyes get bright. He watch that tank up and down. Something tell him, opposite that tank, we're going to have an oak tree. You see an oak tree. In the branch of that oak tree, have a nest. A big bird nest. You see the bird nest. You ever see a man stumbling the world? Hit Genesis 12. You see Abraham come out here. He said, I'm like me. Come out from your country. But you know where you're going? But see El Shaddai come down. And Abraham nursing the breast. He said, but I remember that. Something there being a witness to me. Let me see if a man will come next chapter and turn it back. He stopped over here. The fellow looked there, he see a trail by the side of the oak tree. And he's walking. But I wanted to shoot this second alarm. And this man wants to run away. But the captain was observing this chap. There was something about him. He said, no, leave him, leave him. And he said, I'll follow him slow. The boy gone down to this trail, past a little old house here, past a little old house here. And like he heading for the last house in this trail. He comes up by this house. He sees a rocking chair. He look at the side of the house. But he see the corral for the sheep. Scratch your head. He's waking up. Revelation upon revelation. Jolting the memory. Activating something inside. You been through that? Brother, he get courage. You know, if that water tank didn't lie, that oak tree didn't lie, this house here ain't lie, this rocking chair, this in the back here, nice and Samson here, crying once more, Lord, when the new crop grows. I see Esther going to presence at the king of the royal apparel. I see Abraham with the trained servant from Dan to be a sheep at the bring the Lord's fallen brother. I see the mighty gentle words in the harvest time. Witness rejected by the power. And jolting you. You say, well, I'm gonna knock on this door. And if all this is correct, there's gonna be a bald head man, 5'7", gonna walk out here. And brother, when he walk out here, that is gonna be my papa. And he walk up here and he knock on that door. And here come an old lady. He stand here. He said, I ain't got all this. He says, could you tell dad his son is out here? Do you want to watch him? He says, John, is that you? He's been expecting you the last 2 days. He just been talking about you all the time. He said, hurry. Come and see something out here. He said, John is there. She kind of confused. She can understand that. But here, when this man come out, you can see the older one to the younger one. The boy look at her, I come from you. Amen. The father can know, you come from me. Amen. There was in each other's arms. Something happened to wake the boy up. That he had come home. Friends, God have been bringing us down some places to make us know as we were known. To wake you up, that to bring assurance and confidence in your heart, to nail it down in your soul when there's more doubt in your mind. You're tied to an absolute. No matter how dark it is, no matter you can't feel nothing, you know you're coming sanely, intelligently, and by the word, it's according to the word. Your experience of being confirmed in the Bible, in the talking from knowledge, amen. The word interpreted inside of you, you are a matching piece to the scriptures. People think maybe you know that you can preach, but they don't know you talking pictures of yourself. Because you short eyes you. You say, mama, that's me. You scratch your hair, the boy scratch your hair. You pull up your pants, the boy pull up your pants. He said, that's me. That's me. That's what happens to the son and daughter of God in this office. And when we see it's coming up to this time, we know in one of these days, not very long. And when I struck that about 6 weeks ago here, them two altars, 400 of the golden altar, and those things, I can't help but believe prophecy is coming to pass. Because I keep telling you, that time of the offering of the prayers was just before intercession was over. It was the finishing work of intercession. Because after that, he took a censer of fire and threw it into the earth. Let's turn to Ezekiel 9 and 10 quickly. I'll prove that to you in the Bible. When that cleansing time comes, when he that is filthy, filthy still. He that is holy, holy still. And I recap some of these things to show you from the ark, the rain, the dove, all those things that you knew things was happening. Noah, the eighth person. Ezekiel 9, quickly. How many know Ezekiel 9 parallels Revelation 7? I read the book of Revelation first. Now I'm carrying you back in the Old Testament to show you those things. The sealing, the end of intercession, and the judgment. History is repeating itself. Ezekiel 9 to 11 was fulfilled in the first coming. It's to repeat itself in the last days, and it's happening. And that's the thought I want to drive down to you quickly. Verse 1. He cried also in mine ears, the Lord's voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, every man with his slaughtering weapon in his hand. What a time it was. Ezekiel 9. Judgment was determined upon the city. Watch how we're going to see these things here. Cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. A call for the slaughtering angels. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lied toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a righteous inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside a brazen altar. And when you see them with them nuclear weapons and weapons of mass destruction, you see the slaughtering angels with the weapons. There must be the slaughtering angel first among the people. There must be a sign and crying. A prayer meeting before it all comes to its end. It's prophetic, we're talking about. Watch. And one man among them was clothed with linen and a righteous inkhorn by his side. Watch what the man was clothed in. Linen. That's what the high priest wore on the Day of Atonement. And they went in and stood beside a brazen altar. That's brass judgment. That's a brass altar in the outer court. Here they are with the slaughtering weapons. This scene is where? The temple of the Lord. They take the position of the brass altar. That's instructive. Why does this scene come to the sanctuary? Why? You can't have judgment outside of mercy being spurned. Judgment is not going to happen by accident. Judgment is a ministration of God, the righteous judge. And God don't send judgment until he first sends warning. And God don't bring judgment until man reject light, spurn mercy. Then God will send judgment. And God will send a warning by a prophet. Is that right? Who are them slaughtering angels? Nebuchadnezzar's army. Babylon was going to destroy Jerusalem. Is that right? Babylon was the head of gold. Babylon was devouring the whole earth. When they captured Israel in the siege and conquest, they became the head of the gold. Is that right? We went through those things. I'm trying to bring it to you to see it. Who is calling here? God. He's speaking to his prophet Ezekiel. His prophet Jeremiah already prophesied. Now Ezekiel is seeing what Jeremiah says coming to pass. Is that right? In vision. Already spoken by the prophet. He's seen it. And he's seen how what the prophet prophesied is coming to pass. The sins had piled up in the nation. The cup of iniquity had overflowed. God told Jeremiah, don't pray for them. He said they have trees with all kind of gold and silver and bulb and everything light up and tack up and fastened to the tree. He said they're offering cakes to the Queen of Heaven. He said the father, the mother, the children, and all involved in it. You see that over the land in the last few days? They got into idolatry. They refused truth spoken by a prophet. And the Babylonian power, the invading power, was coming in to destroy. And God breaks the vision. And he sees the slaughter in the angels. They can't move. But they take the position where? At the brass altar. That's where the sacrifices me. Watch. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone from the cherubim whereupon he was. What glory? The glory of God was in the mercy seat. Where did he dwell? Between the cherubim. What are we seeing here? The sanctuary. We are seeing how judgment is coming in, how mercy is going out, how the glory of God is departing Ichabod, so judgment can come in. Now, many people in this message, and this is one thing that many people try to attack all kinds of things because they don't read the Bible. A lot of people have all kinds of carnal understanding that the Lamb sitting down in a chair up in heaven, and the day get up off that chair, judgment in the earth. Because when they read the prophecy and the Lamb leaves the Father's throne and judgment starts, they form something in their mind that is not the Bible. He is talking about the sanctuary. God on the mercy seat. A priest goes in there, makes intercession. And while he's making, he's sprinkled with blood. He can have no judgment, but the blood stays the wrath of God. Sins have been atoned for. But when that intercession is finished, then becomes a judgment throne. And that's a process. That's a series of things done. And you have to go back in the Old Testament to see how mercy seat became judgment seat. You don't read a quote and get something in your mind that you can't put in the Bible. Because what is there is already in the Bible. Look. The glory of God is gone from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed with linen who had the righteous ink on by his side. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem was designated for destruction. He specified the locality. It is not the whole world, it's Jerusalem. When Titus destroyed Jerusalem, it wasn't the whole world, it was Jerusalem. Was the temple. Ezekiel prophecy 800 years or 500 years rather before it took place. Ezekiel saw it. Ezekiel saw Pentecost. He saw the sealing angel coming. Ezekiel saw Titus, the Roman power, coming to destroy them. Why? Because that same thing was acting itself out. The same way Nebuchadnezzar came, destroyed the temple, kept him in captivity. Same way Titus come later on, destroy the second temple and scatter them in the world. History repeats itself. Those things were types. Today, judgment is not upon a city. Today, judgment is upon the whole world. This earth will burn after Elijah. The earth will burn as an oven. I'll smite the earth with a curse. It's global. Drop the whole earth. Because this message goes into all nations, and then shall the end come. Look. This is very instructive. Observe it closely. See how it moves from one stage to the next. And he called to the man clothed with linen that had the righteous ink on by his side. The other slaughtering angels with their weapons was by the brass altar. They didn't move. But now watch God calling upon this man with a clothed in linen with a righteous ink on. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that is done in the midst thereof. There was a people in that city, like there's a people in the earth tonight. Amen. To the abominations in the land. Like Abraham saw it in Sodom. And Abraham beginning to seek for Lot. Is that right? He was crying, oh God. If there's 50 with his spirit. If there's 40 with his spirit. If there's 30 with his spirit. Is that right? Why? Because when Elohim came and opened the seals, when the Son of Man came and revealed to him that judgment was at hand, the judge of all the earth, shall the judge of all the earth not do right? Abraham understood judgment was coming in. It was a time of investigation judgment. Do we as a church understand according to the message of the hour? This is a time of investigation judgment. Supreme judge, turn the cloud. What is that? Supreme judge. 95. The priest had in the book. What is that? The day of vengeance. This day the scripture is fulfilled. He put them things back in the Bible. Throw the rock up. Judgment strike in the West Coast. What's that? Mercy have been spurned. And not a good Friday. It wasn't a good Friday. March the 27th, 1964. Good Friday. The atonement was rejected. Even in this age, judgment couldn't come until it was identified by a prophet. He says, look, another good Friday. Look, mercy have been spurned. Look, God vindicated the message. Look, they hold on to the substitute. Look, God's darkness upon him. He's identifying to us the church and its condition and why judgment is coming. He spent all these years, crossed the lands, went into India, went into Mexico, went into Africa, went into Europe, all the cross. From Mexico to Canada, from New York to Los Angeles, cover all them civilizations and give witness, and they turn it down. He says, judgment will stop. Same thing here, watch. Look how it comes. When we see the type here, we'll know the reality. I'm showing you Ezekiel 9 and 10 is the same thing like Revelation 7 and 8. First the sealing, then the judgment. When intercession is over, watch. Look what God notices before judgment comes in. He notices those who sigh and cry. What did God notice back in Genesis 18? Abraham crying out, standing in the gap. Set your mark on that crying sigh. And to the others he said in my hearing, go you after him. To the others, to the slaughtering angels, he said in my hearing, go you after him. To the city and smite. Let not your eyes peer, neither have pity. You will see all kind of murders. You will see all kind of rapes. You will see all kind of crimes free start. You will see people go crazy. You will see politicians who will sit down and promote carnival and culture, all being backfire on them. And then they say, no, that is really causing young people to be this and all them kind of different things. And they loot, and in school they have guns and they have drugs and you know, and they themselves sow these seeds for it. They themselves help create and legalize Wewe and Lotto and all kinds of carrying the occult and everything else. But to them, that have nothing to do with the condition. Then they have the psychologists analyzing them and say, no, that's not the problem. That's not the problem. You know, and they don't realize what kind of society they breed. It's Satan's Eden. And then denominations, that denomination want to go on the radio with dub and reggae and say, no, Jesus, you know, you have to be like them to win them. And it's where the church get to. And then, where's the believers who's thinking have been filtered? Where's the church who have been enlightened? Where's the church that's raised up to know the day, to watch the continuity of the message, to know how far is advancing? Look. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women. You see man shoot himself, shoot his father, burn up his little children, all kind of different. You see all kind of girls. He said, let your eyes fear pity. It's happening. Again, works. The tide is rising. The evil, the enemy like a flood. The gross darkness. The people are in a hideous condition. Hell is creating on the earth. The uniting of flesh and spirit. Demon power is taking over those who reject truth. Alive in the body, but the soul that sinner shall surely die. Dead in the soul, could hear it 1,000 times. Trying to come back like Esau, looking for a place of repentance and can't find it. When? When the prayer meeting is going on. when the session coming to an end, Revelation 8, that prayer service, the altar. When prayers to be offered, when all prayers to be fulfilled. Watch. Watch. I pray God wake up the church to the place to understand how late it is, friends. Look at the outside. Is the nations expressing the will of one another? Them big beasts like Daniel had seen, that fourth beast devouring and breaking in pieces, that other beast with three ribs in the mouth gobble up a few nations close by. You see that kind of conquest? You see all them takeovers? You see all them corporate warfare? You see all them big companies getting swallowed up? You see the mergers taking place? You see all economic and trade changing? Daniel. Look, Ezekiel. Watch. And look in the spiritual realm. Judgment. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark. And begin at my sanctuary. And begin at my sanctuary. Like when they hold our brother in the gas station. And they have him under gunpoint and they take his car. But touch not mines. You can't come near them. Shoot. Shoot. But this one here, the angel standing there. You can't touch that one. He established a bump. He had that dog on a leash. He had that pig on a leash. He might be ferocious. He might get scared. But what Papa had have him there? That angel stand here with that drawn sword. Right. And begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. And he said unto them, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. And go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city. You can see some real strange things when judgment begins to move right. And let me tell you, you might see some strange things too. Because in the Bible here, the sanctuary of God is included in it. That is the epicenter. What happens there? There's been a breaking point. Wrath means move because the church gets in a condition. It's when the church let the bars down, then things just go real haywire. That's right. You know the Bible, you know that. And it came to pass while they were slaying them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried, and said, Our Lord God, will thou destroy all the residue of Israel and pour out thy fury upon Jerusalem? Then said unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they said, The Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. The very attitude behaving like the Lord forsaken the earth. The very attitude like God and care, they can do what they want. They can shoot who they want. If I spare your life, I feel the killer, they'll come back for you tomorrow. They think that they have everything in their hand in control. And as for me also, my eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. And behold, a man clothed with linen, which had the ink on by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. Friends, there's a people that was sealed. There was a people who sighed and cried. There was an elect that was found and they were sealed in their forehead. There was 144,000 that were sealed. And over when the prophecy was fulfilled in the first coming, the same way they'll find the 144,000, they found them. They found them in Cornelius' house. Boom, the Holy Ghost dropped down there, sealed in their forehead. Is that right? When the Acts 19 in Ephesus, preach there, then come the Holy Ghost, seal them in their forehead. You're finding them. Led by the Spirit to find them. Go to Guinea. Go to St. Vincent. Don't go to St. Kitts yet. Get to Dominica. You're being led and you don't even know all and where and why you're being led. But God knows where the elect is. They know who turn it is to come in. And that's why the church can't be slumbering when you see God answer back, when you see God confirm. You wake up and realize that's the Holy Ghost moving in the world. And when you recognize that, your walk get different. Your involvement get deeper. Your prayer come in a higher realm. Your faith get more focused. You throw away a bag of peanuts and your foolishness because you realize God is on the scene. So close. The word coming to pass. It's not luck and chance. Not coincidence. I have done as thou hast commanded. You mean to say the sealing angel? That's his ministry. I have baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. John said, I baptized with water. Baptism with the Holy Ghost and fire is not a ministry of man. It's the ministry of Jesus Christ. He is the sealing angel. Man preached the word after you heard the word of truth. Then he comes behind and you are sealed with the spirit of promise. Faith comes when man preach. While Peter had spake, they get saved. And then down come the sealing angel and seal up in Cornelius' house. Is that right? That's the pattern in the Bible for you. He gets them. You believe he'll get them? If you are one, say, come by here, Lord. Oh, Lord, come by here. Oh, God, someone is crying. But if the things you should be sighing and crying over, you're trying to get involved in and partake of. You get that? Instead of you sighing and crying for it, you're trying to track it. You're trying to block it. You're trying to take a hold of it. He'll pass you in your filth and your folly, and he'll get the ones you want. He'll take the ones from around you and go. That's right. The one shall be taken, the other shall remain. Two shall be in the bed, two shall be in the field. Wise women rise and trim the lamps, fill them with oil, and they went into the bridegroom. They get the Holy Ghost. Is that right? Foolish virgins have no Holy Ghost. Then the door shut, like Noah's door shut, like the intercession was finished, and there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Where? Under the seventh seal in the coming. That's the sealing. Revelation 7. Acts 2:28. That's the sealing. Or I can say Acts 2:13, 14, 18, where Paul shook his women and dust his feet, and the Jews was finished. Then he went to Gentiles. Ezekiel 10. Watch. It continues on. Then I looked. Now in Revelation 8 here. And behold, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubim. You see where it come back to again? The glory had moved from the cherubim. We see the man sealing. And we come back to the cherubim again. We come back to the cherubim again. They appeared over them as it were as a fire stone. As the appearance of the likeness of a what? A throne. A throne. Throne of mercy and judgment. A throne. Out of the throne we see the lightnings and thunders and voices. And he spake unto the man clothed in linen and said, go in between the wheels. This is the same man who had sealed. This is the same man who had sealed. This is the linen cloth. He is called the man clothed in linen. The man clothed in linen. The man clothed in linen. I may not even have time to get it tonight. Ezekiel 60, Leviticus 16. The high priest on the day of atonement, he will take off all his garments of glory, all his breastplate, all his onyx stones, and all the different things, all his nice blue garment, heavenly garment, and these things, and we put on just a linen coat. And he goes in to do that great and important work on the greatest day, the most holy day of the year. Because the day of atonement was the day the sanctuary was cleansed. And when the sanctuary is cleansed, then judgment begins. Look. And he spake unto the man clothed in linen and said, go in between the wheels under the cherub and fill thy hand with coals of fire from between the cherubims. How did coals of fire get where the cherubim was? That's important. That's important. You know why? Because that's the day when the sanctuary is to be cleansed, when the high priest goes in with the golden censer with live coals, and he burns the incense, and the cloud of incense fills the Holy of Holies, and then he sprinkles the blood, and then he comes back out. Then judgment begins, because atonement have been made for all the people, and a new year is starting again, and every day a man's sins will come into account. Watch, this is important, friends, because in this age we come to that place. In this, under this message, we are coming to that place. Under this message, we are coming to that place. The bride will have a ministry of testimony to the lost that can't be saved. 7 days, Noah's ark remained as a testimony against them. A witness to people who turned their message down. Coming to the bride. And my point is to show you that happens right after the prayer is offered. I'm sure in the Old Testament, I'm sure in the New Testament. I'm showing you from the time the lamb has left and take the book until them prayers go up and it's finished. Then judgment will fill up the earth. Now watch. Look at it happen here. You'll understand what happened here. I'm showing you Ezekiel 9, parallel Revelation 7. Ezekiel 10, parallel Revelation 8. Exactly. And he spake unto the man clothed linen and said, go in between the wheels under the cherub and fill thy hand with coals of fire from between the cherubim and scatter them over the city. When is this happening? After they were sealed. When the judgment struck in the Noah, after they were shut sealed in the ark. When the judgment struck in Egypt, after they were sealed under the blood. Has God been trying to get these people in? Is there a refusing of this message? Did Israel reject God king, and then God give a king after their own heart? At the end of the judges. I'm bringing back Samuel to you. We struck that couple months ago, and right there, from there, out there, we struck the prayer. And out of the prayer, I'm showing you, the prayer ends the intercession. And that's why I say, it's not just prayer. Elijah waited until that time. After that, what happened? Jehu came and started slaughter. But the 7,000 had got in. Is that right? And Jehu killed everything afterwards. Who stained Jezebel religion? After the sealing angel sealed up, all them who stained Judaism, Titus came and sealed them. Is that right? Back and forth in the Bible. Go in between the wheels under the cherub and fill thine hand with coals of fire from between the cherub. Take coals of fire after the sealing, and what? Scatter it over the city. And he went in my sight. Now the cherubim stood on the right side of the house when the man went in, and the cloud filled the inner court. You see where the cloud went now? It leaves the Holy of Holies and it's coming out. Why? Because coals of fire is scattering the city now. Why? Because the elect is sealed. Now judgment will begin. Not one bomb could fall until the bride is sealed away. Brother, can you see why we are trying to get the church in and be placed positionally? Because when these plagues begin to strike, he says, see that you touch not one of them who have the seal of God in their forehead. He said, the nations is breathing things that will scatter on the nations. And all kind of plagues will hit them. Isn't that what this war that they're afraid of? Isn't that why the U.S. getting all this thing here? They're putting the people and inject them so that when they're afraid, all these are biological and chemical weapons? Isn't that prophesied in the book of Revelation that is going to come? First, sores will break out in people. They're trying to die. Then the atomic bomb, not biological and chemical weapon, nuclear, will burn the earth. After man's flesh, they burn. Remember my message of four horses of death? Coming global epidemic? You watch and see all them things. When the time comes, I'll point you back and say, we'll go back and we'll pull back on the tape and see when it's going to happen. Because the Holy Spirit has been forewarning and foretelling in the church. You know why? Because it's already prophesied in the word and it has been revealed. And then it's breaking forth in the earth. And we can look around and see man catching that inspiration, like Hitler was catching the final solution to the Jewish question. And the prophet was standing at the same time in 1933, catching as John was sent for the first coming, so shall you follow the second coming. And while Hitler was in the earth and Mussolini was in the earth, 1933, he was in the earth catching the word. Catching the understanding. He had to bring a message to forerun the coming. It goes side by side. It goes side by side. While Israel was being sealed, Egypt was crying, firstborn was crying out. While Adam and Eve was under blood, the serpent was being judged. While Rahab was under the scarlet thread, all of them in Jericho was being slaughtered. Redemption and judgment goes together. And the seals and the vials, they go together. You realize what it is to be able to catch the word in this hour? You realize if somebody can't catch the word, how dark it really is? You're looking at things all in the earth, you're looking at things in the nation, you're looking at things all around you, and you don't know what it means? You're just saying, boy, the Express says so, and the bomb says so, I think Time Magazine says so. What do you think, boy? You don't even catch the word and say, here's where the prophet is, here's the prophecy, here's the book of Revelation, here's the seal, here's the trumpet, here's the vial, here's the age, here's the path to follow the prophet ministry in the last days, here's happening. You know what it is to catch light? To walk in the year 2003? We are walking in light. We are going to this new end, not with darkness, with light. We are going here anointed for prayer with a revelation open, and now he's placing the Bible and showing, look what that means. Look where you're catching that. Look where that is coming. Look how he dealt with you all. Look where the towers fell. Look where the line passed. Look at the repeat performance of all diabolical cunning. Look how we're working through Revelation 13 in the United States of America. And you see in the hour. Look back here in the time when Babylon devoured the earth. And look back here when mystery Babylon going to devour the earth. Look back in the beginning of the Gentile dispensation. Look here at the end of the Gentile dispensation. Daniel praying. Catching a mystery. Is that right? Daniel praying. Shut them out of lions and resist persecution. Daniel praying. Getting the mystery from that mighty angel who descend with one foot on land and one foot on sea, who is his hand three times and times and half a time. Daniel, beginning generation, Daniel, Ezekiel, all of them was in the same time. Daniel in Jeremiah writings. Ezekiel here is seeing what Jeremiah said come to pass. We are seeing what a prophet said come to pass about the Babylonian power, the fourth power, mystery Babylon, what she was doing in the earth. Ezekiel saw intercession on earth and judgment start. In other words, Ezekiel understood Revelation 7 and Revelation 8. Because Ezekiel 9 and 10 is Revelation 7 and Revelation 8. That is what he saw. That is what God communicated to the man at that time. That is what God communicated to John at that time. John type of the bride? The John in the book. Did Ezekiel in the book? Do the type of people that in the book? Does the eternal book come into the Gentile prophet and the Jewish prophets? Is the Gentile prophet going on the scene? Is it no Jewish prophets that come? Is there people who preach about eating that book down to this 25, 20 years? Is somebody opening that there? You know Ezekiel in the book, Ezekiel 3. You know John in the book, Revelation 10. The book that Adam had, that went back and God had it. And then the lamb took it. Then Adam and God and the lamb had it. Then a mighty angel bring the book back down to earth. Leaving heaven and coming back to earth. Is that right? Then Adam, God and the lamb didn't have it. No, an angel had it. When does it go back in the flesh? After the Gentile prophet, before the Jewish prophets. Gentile prophet left 1965. From 1833 to 1965, nobody ever interpreted that. You find and show me somebody put it. Find, tell me if you know somebody preached that. Seven churches, messengers didn't preach that. Either it's for the Jews or it's for the Gentiles. And if it's not for the Jews and it's for the Gentiles, then that book goes back into human flesh here. Because the book was no longer in Adam's hand, no longer in God's hand, no longer in the lamb's hand, no longer in the angel hand. The book was inside of John. And the book never went nowhere else after it went in John. John had the book in him. Like Ezekiel had the book in him. And the man who had the book in him in Revelation 3 was a watchman. In Ezekiel 3, in Ezekiel 9 and 10, was seeing now the mysteries of intercession coming to an end and judgment starting, and he saw how the ministration changed in the temple. He understood how it happened in the sanctuary. A man on earth was understanding what was happening. When the fourth power was destroying the earth, Babylon was destroying them from the head of gold in the beginning of the Gentile dispensation. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine that? God, it's good to be here. It's good to be here. You can deny that in the Bible. That's the grace of God, friends. You know how close God has to come to say that? You know everything God can say from afar off? You have to whisper that in your ear. Gather his bride close up to him. Not flirters. Whisper in his secrets. The secret in the back part of God's mind is being put in the heart of the bride. And do you realize now he's also telling you where he said we will have that here? He's giving the quotes. After he's living through the scriptures, to prove that is being fulfilled. Look at the kind of battles we went through before all these things. But look how it proved that the word was built on the rock of revelation. Look, when the storms came, nobody panicked. Nobody misbehaved. Nobody get on. Because you know why? Satan can't shake that word on the inside. He might shake the flesh, but he can't shake that word. That's the word that cut into ribbons. You know why? You have representation in heaven. You didn't fail when Lucifer tail pulled on one of the stars. You stood with Michael back there. So you could stand here with the word. All I'm asking you, you pray and you watch and see. And you ask God for understanding. And may God bless you with revelation. Because did not see the spirit of wisdom as Gabriel came to Daniel? The spirit of wisdom and revelation will come to the church in the last days. Me and Brother Sam used to read that as young boys in 1973. I used to read that on the Daniel 73. And I see that spirit come to reveal these deep secret things to take the church out. Look at those things in the Old Testament. My. still in the court now. Quickly, let's finish it. Verse 4. Now what you see here is how the glory is moving away from the sanctuary. Why? Because the elect is sealed. And judgment now is going to come in. They have prayed and prayed and prayed. They have sighed and cried. The elect that cried day and night, now God is going to avenge speedily. You get that? Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house. And the house was filled with a cloud. And the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. And the song of the cherubim's wings was heard even to the outer court, and the voice of the Almighty God when he speaketh. And it came to pass that when he had commanded, the man clothed in linen, saying, take fire from between the wheels, from between the cherubims. Then he went in and stood beside the wheels. And one cherub stretched forth his hand from between the cherubim unto the fire that was between the cherubims, and took thereof and put it into his hands of him clothed in linen, who took it and went out. You find something just like that in Revelation 15:6, where one of the cherubim hand those seven angels the seven vials that pour out in the earth. The same cherubim that was announcing, come and see, when the seal was opening. And the same man who has sung that mystery now is bringing a ministry of judgment. Do you know Jesus preached to the lost at the end of his ministry? Do you know between the public crucifixion and the resurrection, he preached to the lost? Do you know the last part of Moses' ministry under the lost? Do you know after Abraham cried and sighed and Lot came in, Elohim went down, and that was the finish? The last part of the ministry was Sodom burned. Last part of the ministry, they perished in the days of Noah. Last part of Moses' ministry, when he get Israel under the blood, first come with his two signs in the hand, then he poured water on dry land, fill the earth with plagues. You know that? After the first, second, put a trolley rock up. You know that? You hear me preach something over the years, 1980. Go back there and them kids, 1982, light of the morning star, shalom, all the messages back there. Discerning the signs of the time, showing all the end time signs. Under this message, preach hand the book, rock drop, cloud turn, all them things. Seven dove, hell on the earth, people in J.C. Penney store. Every time he went to the Bible, and he brought their children to prison. Went to the Bible, is the rising of the sun. Went to the Bible, this is the fulfilled. A prophet went to the Bible, unveil of God. Every time the sign happened, went to the Bible, bring the message. He says, investigation, judgment. Then he comes what? Trial. After trial, trial is for a verdict. Is that right? Found them guilty. Then what? Souls in prison now. It was advancing. It was advancing. They found guilty. This generation is found guilty. Indicted in a trial. Found guilty. Then what? Shut up in prison. Walk in the prison house right now. You ever see rat in prison? They kill one another in prison. All the kingpin in prison. The earth become the prison house where the doomed are walking, and the bride is raised up into another realm. Sealed by the word, and the word sealed out. Oh, brothers and sisters, we are going into this new year. By the grace of God. We are going into this new year, friends. And that's why I kind of weigh in between, should I preach this, should I not preach it, should I preach it? And I felt I need to preach this right in here. Because when I struck the prayer meeting, I want you to see how that is fulfilling prophecy. I want you to see how late the hour is, how that advanced up to here. Remember 1963, November the 10th. Souls in prison now. He said it will come to this one day. If not, you turn that tape off. Repent around the world wherever you are. They were screaming, just rolling on the floor of the tabernacle. He cries, oh God, Billy and save, Sarah and save, Rebecca and save, Lord, mature and Lord. Cry now. He said, this is the scripture. It will come to this one day. He said, "Are we in that place? Are we in that place?" Look away to Jesus. He says, "I've come to the place. I can't go no further in my ministry. I must stop here. Go back into evangelism." All them things the Spirit explained from the Word. Seven mountain peaks. Time runs out. On that seven peak, eternity sets in. There's some quotes from that. Eternity sets in. Why? Time run out on that seven peak. He had come all the way to 2/3 of that seven peak. The last part of the finished point. That part was left for the bride. Because the ministry of the Son of Man always ends in a resurrection. Abraham and Sarah was changed. When he come to Abraham. When the Son of Man come in the middle of the Bible to Abraham, natural seed. Those Old Testament saints came out of the grave and raised. In this last days, when you come to the royal seed, three times you come. In the beginning of the Bible, middle of the Bible, and the end of the Bible. The Abraham natural seed to the royal seed. When he comes in the last days, the living ones are changed, and the New Testament saints are raised out of the ground. Both happen in this time. Abraham and Sarah changed. In the middle of the Bible, Old Testament saints came. In this day, the living ones are changed and the sleeping ones come up. Malachi 4 left 1965 and the resurrection take place here. That part of the ministry of the Son of Man, the preach to the lost and raise the sleeping saints, is left for the bride. When does it run out? When does intercession finish? When the souls that are prisoner now become reality, the church will go along people thinking they're getting saved. People will come into the altar and cry. Church members will be added. And it's finished. Because why? That angel said, "I have done as I now commanded." It's just too much fish in the lake. It's just too much electric seal. And when the last one is sealed, it's finished. Though it go on for 1,000 years, not another one to be saved. Because just too much names in the book. Brothers and sisters, in the light of what is being said. Not just what's being said. What has been breaking in the church. September 11, 2001. Coming this year. Coming here. Are we crazy? Can we keep making up all these things? In contributing the Bible, opening the Word for a year and a half? Which you had 26 years before that too? What is it with this place? What is it with these people? That God can favor us like this. That God will leave us for somebody to come and bring it to us. God bring it right among us. God is only done to come in the Caribbean, all they know nothing, all the bunch of Trinidadians, all the third world people, all they know nothing. All this young girl, send somebody to bring it to you all. God put an eagle anointing. No inferiority complex. And God in sovereign grace, give that and give faith to believe it. A little shepherd with a slingshot. No big ecclesiastical armor. But you have faith in what God trained you with. To prove the seals of the book. And you can go into the word and come back out with the blessing. Because that's what a prophet says. Can you imagine that, friends? How close are we? The last thing is the prayer. We see it right there. Then what? Fire in the center, throw it in the earth. Fire in the center, throw it in Jerusalem. Then the Babylonian power take everything. Is that right? If you have been a Christian and you have tried to walk close, you might not be the greatest prayer warrior. Putting yourself in comparison along with others is not competition, so God don't judge you by that standard. Because sometimes you don't even know what to pray for, but the Holy Ghost in you groan it with utterance, the words can't even be uttered, making intercession for you. Because down in your soul there's a crave. There's a reality. And you may not be the most educated person, but God gives you a sensitiveness. You can discern when the Holy Spirit comes close. and give your ear to hear a certain sound, that you can hear the clarity of the trumpet voice sounding out the message, posting you, placing you positionally, putting you into the symphony to see what part of the symphony of God's word is playing out, to get you in the rhythm of the word, get you in the spirit, get you linked up with God, that you can start to travel with the spirit. Then this is the hour you long for. This is the hour you long for, friend. That's what I said. We come into something. That's why Sunday morning I was coming there, and Holy Spirit just something keep bothering me. Said, no, you can't preach that. Don't even try to preach that. I had another message to preach. I wanted to preach it. I put it away. And just my heart with the Holy Spirit jot down some notes about the sweet savor. The sweetness of the sacrifice. Simple. Sweet. Walk in the pulpit, just 3-4 scriptures written down. Right in the car. And come in obedience. And you hear me pray before him. Lord, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. How to tell you. And right here, see the Holy Spirit come. Word by word by word. Place that word out there. Such a word. When it happens, it bothers me. I walk and scratch my head and says, I didn't even know 5 minutes ago what I was going to say. But it was. I mean, God coming down so close. Then to stay in a place, you got to die almost to stay and hold that all these months. Knowing that something happens September 11th, knowing that something, we come into something this year, and try to stay in there and preach in there and don't move. When we hit Samuel, I got to go eat some out of these. Holy said, no, leave that alone. I came, I sit in the church. I said, that will take me away from the inspiration from here. When I started sitting, then come, get the ones in the church who understanding and catching the thing. That's the ones. Work with them for the time. Because the church have to catch this. Sometimes you speak in things, people don't understand what you're talking about because they're in a place they can't see, they can't break into it, they can't understand the reality of it. And it'd be so hard because you know how you explain things. You know everybody not yet. You know everybody not of the maturity and the growth. And yet you see in the church, sometimes part of the congregation here, part in something else, part in this, and you know, humanly possible. No program, no man could get the people's minds in one channel and one mind. It's going to take the Spirit of God something to come and try to deal with people's hearts, affect them, make them hunger, bring them under that atmosphere, set them in that channel. And that's a sovereign work to be done by God. And you know we must have that at this time. Here we are. I got the deacons and the ministers in the room before we came out here. I showed them a little bit of the burden in my heart. I should be coming here for the Lord's Supper tonight. Look at the things we have come down through these years. I heard Brother Sammy praying that also right when they call him to prayer. From the time they call him to prayer, I know he knows the channel. He started praying right there. He said, Lord, the places your pastors this year coming. Why? Because we are following. We are watching some footprints. Some bloody footprints. We believe what is happening. Now! Break it in the word. You stand there. How else can you pray? You stand and you pray in what you're in. You pray what you believe. Let God correct you if you're wrong and say, no, you're praying wrong. Here you go, you speak the word. But if you believe that and you say the word, then that's where you have to pray. Because prayer is not there's something again in your mind. And let me say this, when we call you to pray sometimes, you pray the thing that you pray here. If you have things to pray in your closet, don't bring that to pray here. Put that, pray that in your closet and pray what you pray in the house of God, in the house of God. Sometimes we can't tell. We bring everything in the house of God and pray all kinds of confused people in church. But around the man gave them, pray for the mayor, pray for this, pray for that, pray for this. But long, long drawn out prayer. We don't want that at all. Let us know. This is a time frame. We are in the spirit. We have to understand what is happening. How to move with God. How to walk. This is a time the church needs to be in. In rank and file. I don't know how to explain some of these things. I'm just trusting out my ignorance and my inability to explain that he could take the spirit and make it real by making it clear in your mind through the word. You have to see what's happening. And I trust tonight, these scriptures, in its simplicity, I can hardly touch it. I can hardly touch it. And my opening scriptures here. After I read those in 7 and 8, I was reading Ezekiel 9 and 10, and I'm still in Ezekiel 9 and 10. That's good. I want this time to swing over, so I'm trying to tone down from here. Instead of trying to go further, I'm bringing it because if we can come and take this supper tonight in the light of where we are standing, in memory of him, what he did for us, and even as a consecration night with a new year before us, there is no space of time like a year. A year is not like a day or a week or a month. A year is a full, complete cycle of time. Everything that happens in time happens in a year. You catch that? In a day, could be any day of the week. It could be a day of a certain month. In a day, you can't get 4 seasons. In a day, you can't get 7 days. In a month, you can't get 4 seasons. In a year, you have the full cycle of time, a year. Everything happens in a year. You understand so much of what? A year consists of everything. That's why Israel, once a year. Once a year. Not once 5 years, once a year. The high priest can go in once a year. Not once a month. Not once a week. Not once a day. Once a year. And that complete revelation of time, the work that was being done on that particular day was being done on behalf of all what had happened throughout the year. Now, the cleansing of the sanctuary, the Day of Atonement, was actually the cleansing of the sanctuary. That was the work that was being done. Many times we think of the high priest going in and sprinkle 7 drops of blood and come out. But when he comes out there, that's a judgment seat. Because that atonement was made for the sins of the whole year before it. So that year's sins was atoned for. Now the first day of the new year, it has no blood for that. The next day of atonement, in the next year, will take care of that year's sin. Now in heaven, Jesus didn't go in every year. He went in once. Once for all. So in heaven, it means to say, there's a time when the work of the high priest in the heavenly sanctuary will come to a close. And when that work comes to a close, there's no more mercy. Because 1 year work on earth in the earthly sanctuary represented all that took place in the heavenly sanctuary. And that was on the Day of Atonement when the high priest would go in. He would cleanse the sanctuary. He would cleanse the people. He will cleanse the furniture. Everything will be cleansed. Why? So God could dwell with his people. God could remain in the midst of his people. And why the sanctuary needed cleansing? Is because though they had a daily sacrifice for each man individual sins, each woman individual sins, that every man bring his own trespass offering, bring his own sin offering. But then once a year, the collective sins of the nation was brought into remembrance, because there were things that were still existing. And no matter what sacrifice offered, a lot of the ordinances allowed it wasn't thoroughly defined. Like people that run an issue, they say, you don't have to offer no sacrifice, just bathe yourself and stir the camp. And then when you bathe and you wash the clean, you will come back in. And so you get people can come in with different things. But then the time came, God, to make sure that everything was cleansed, they had a day of atonement. In Israel, that's the greatest and most important day in the whole year. And that represented the work of intercession that the high priest went in and made on behalf of all the people. When he came back out and the people saw him coming out, there was a joy. Every 50th year, when the work was finished, they blow the Jubilee trumpet at evening time. And when they blow that Jubilee trumpet, every slave in the land, thus Israelite, had to go free. All bondage wrung the lives of slaves, and people trapped away from the original condition had to be broken, and they had to be loose to return back to the original beginning. That was speaking of the hour when they say, this Son of Man who you see taking away the cloud will come again in like manner. Because when Jesus ascended, he went into heaven, into the heavenly sanctuary. But one day, his work will over the air. He'll come back out. And when he come back out, there will be a trumpet blown. And it will effect such deliverance. Anybody who see by revelation that high priest come back out. Anybody by revelation who hear that trumpet. Anybody who understand the deadening in the coming of the Lord, they see you appearing in the Son of Man again. They hear the message taking you back to the original beginning. They are going to begin to experience deliverance. But that message is designed to break all forms of bondage around your life and take you back. If you are living in bondage tonight, have you seen? When you get a cloud, is it a picture or is it a revelation? When the high priest comes out there from, on the day of atonement, the high priest went in about four times in the Holy of Holies. He went in and come back out, went in, come back out. I don't have time to go in tonight with you to show you. But all of that constituted him going in once. Because the Bible says he went in once a year. Because first he had to go and make atonement for himself. Then you have to sprinkle the blood. Then you have to have the incense and the coals. And then you have to go in and burn that. Then you have to come back out, change bed, change his clothes. Then you have to go and put his hands on the scapegoat and carry the sins away. Then you have to go back in before God again. All of that is a work being done. But when that is finished, the people before God is without sin. They are cleansed. There's no sin. When Jesus comes, friends, for this bride, she'll be the sinless, spotless virtue. Did Ephesians 5 say a church without spot without wrinkle? And dies in every form. Even the body will be glorified. Is that right? Satan will be powerless. just before the bride, she will be an invincible army, not even death can harm her. And she has no more mind battles, because the battleground here, that war is already over when she becomes glorified. Satan is cast out. Now is the accuser cast out. Friends, you fighting up with mind battles. Have you seen God give you revelation? Mind battle, don't bother you no more. Have you seen God give you revelation? You can pull down the strongholds of the enemy. Peter, the guy said, boy, I got a mind battle. You tie to absolute. The tie to the absolute finishes mind battles. Because when the tie to the absolute is, what shall separate us from the love of God as in Christ Jesus? Shall famine, pestilence, tribulation, persecution, peril, sword, nakedness, things present, things past, things that come, angel, principalities, powers, death, what shall separate us? We are what? More than conquerors to him that loved us. Why? Because there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. No basis upon which you can be accused. Why? Is God in this year forgetfulness? You stand there for being justified. We have peace with God. You stand here. As a priest, you're in the courts of God now. You're in the courts of God now. You redeemed from Egypt. And now you're ministering before God in the sanctuary. God dwelling among his people. You mean to say, coming this message in Egypt under the taskmasters in bondage? Oh God, hard. Satan ruling us with rigor. Drink, smoke, wear hot pants, go to partner, take your money and gamble. Then we hear a message of a prophet. It break that. Then we come out and we go to some torment. Satan coming to take us back in bondage. Oh God, the Egyptians come in. Now we go dead, now we go dead. Then the word come back. Stand still. God will fight for you. Is that right? Then we come to the place God come down to our redeemed people and says, now you are a holy priesthood. Now you will minister to me inside this holy place where no one else can come except you. Then God begin to open up things, how to approach God, how to stay in fellowship with God, how to stay in communion with God. Priests that could cleanse the leper. Priests that could sprinkle the blood. Priests that know they use the running water. Priests that understand the mystery of the scarlet, the blood, and the cedar wood, the cross. Amen! Priests that know the ashes of the red heifer. How to mix it and apply it. To keep a man in fellowship. To remove defilement. To remove all mind battle and make him walk in victory. Bring him to his promise. Priests that know that. Think of it. God, bring the people who had only no rigor and rulership by the devil now into a place. They come into the most holy place by you and living away. They say, Abba Father. They say, the golden altar. They offer incense. They walk back out in the shoebread and the table. Amen. The ears anointed, the tongue anointed, the foot anointed. Sprinkled with blood, anointed with oil. They walk in holy, holy, holy. They have an audience with God. The time came when the same priest took coals of fire now. The one who's offering prayers. He put incense now, you know. Coals of fire. No incense now. Pray not for them. He said, Father, I don't pray for the stalk. I pray for the grain. Father, I can't pray for these because it sins unto death. Jesus said, Father, I pray not for the world, but I pray for these whom you have given me. He said, I come to bring division. I come to bring a sword. I come to take peace from the earth. What does he say? Not one stone will remain standing on this temple. What is he doing? Oh, Jerusalem, how for thy gallant thee as a hen that gathered brood, but you would not. If only you were there, your visitation. Do it for me. Do it for yourself and your children. The time is going to come. It's a blessing. The path of never knows. If you have done this to the tree when it's green, what shall it be when it's dry? Think. He knew where he was standing. He knew where he was walking. The prophet in the same ministry come back, and he knew exactly where he was standing with them church people. But when that rock was thrown up there in 1964, mercy had been spurned, judgment will start in the earth, and not a good Friday, lightning come down, pillar of fire, cut the trees and the rocks. Every stone was a tree quarter. May tree blast! Men heard the blast, I heard the words, voices. It says judgment striking West Coast and Alaska almost sunk. Lightning, thunders, voices, and earthquake on earth. When mercy is spurned, seven seal book open, evening sacrifice offered up. That's the message. Already preach indictment, already preach trial, already preach soul in prison, already preach shalom, darkness on them. Already preach all these things. Then here in the year 2002, after coming through everything down through these years, God hit. Yes, but prayer here must be here now. Get the church praying, but a friend that coming Sunday, he was waiting for me. When he see the car pulling, he ran out there. He said, I want you to read this. You're going to get a blessing of it. And he handed me a card. It was from Brother King writing him, testifying to him in the church. The services now is just on consecration and prayer and the blessing of God is blessing me. I was talking with Brother Malcolm and sharing with him. He said, isn't that amazing? After he came back and he called me from Vietnam when he was released. He said for the past couple of weeks here, the church, he says, all day you haven't prayed since. And when I started sharing, he was so amazed of how God opened it in the Word. God is going to show him the things in the Word and the experience in the church and where it went. And send the tapes in. Two witnesses, one quite in New Zealand, one in the Caribbean. Isn't it strange how God is dealing with people at the same time? That's why I don't want you to miss this. And I trust tonight, this will help drive it down to you that we have come into a season, we have come into a time where we need to grasp with clarity, and we need to get an understanding, and we have to pray for revelation to understand that God can make it personally a revelation to you as an individual that what is actually happening. And by that revelation, take your soul up into the same atmosphere and make you part of what is happening. Dip your wick in the oil, so to speak. That it will not just be a message, somebody you're trying to learn, but I want you to see. And that's why tonight, in taking these scriptures here, you see where intercession come to an end. The only one that was sealed was the intercessors. Seal them who sigh and cry. And then when the seal was finished, he says, now go now into the sanctuary, take the coals, put in the censer and throw it. Exactly what happens in the beginning of the Gentile transition, come back at the end of the Gentile transition, under your seventh seal. The angel stands there and is offering the praise of all things. Not some saints, all saints. Because after that, you don't see no prayer nowhere in the Bible no more. You see praise and worship. You know why? You can't pray for the world no more, judgment. The wrath, the elect is taken out. Jewish elect taken out. Under our seventh seal up these, name in the forehead, under the seventh trumpet, seal of Israel. Rush them from all nations back to the homeland, waiting for the seal. Rush them from all denominations back to the promised world, sealing right now. That marking angel moving through the churches, sealing them before the slaughtering angel comes. There is wars and rumors of wars that are going to kill everything off the earth. Watch this. Them trumpets is breaking right there. Woe, woe, woe. Three woes. All seven trumpets is three woes. Three woes contained in the seven trumpets. Fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet is them three woes. World War I is finished. World War II is finished. Behold, the third woe coming quickly. We are between the second woe and the third woe. Prophet came, birth pains. It is on birth pains the priest handed the book for the day of vengeance, because that's the slaughtering angels coming. The third woe to destroy the earth, to bring the millennium on. And here was the message of the shout, opening the seven seals to get the bride out. The shout gathering the bride together. Here was the one restoring the evening sacrifice, offering it up, restoring the original atonement. Come out to her, my people. Come out to Babylon. And bring us back to the land of the fathers. Brothers and sisters, the prophet says, when the lamb lay there, the sand became smoky. When the last thing in the Holy of Holies, when he burned that incense and the whole Holy of Holies filled with smoke, the sanctuary came filled with smoke. That's the smoke from the incense. He sprinkles the blood and he's going out. And all these sins of the past year of the elected call out people, the chosen people who the Exodus prophet call out, is cleansed. Is cleansed before God. Then fire. Because why? The earth will burn with fire. Cast it into the earth. A sign of judgment. And what happened? Lightning, thunders, voices, and earthquake. Did it have that on earth? Have we seen the appearing of the high priest? Have we seen the opening of the seven seal book? Have we heard a trumpet sounding total deliverance to take us back to our original possession and back to our family? Have we seen a rock thrown up and see lightning, thunder, voice, and earthquake follow that? Then all these things under that seventh seal has shown itself under this message. Friends, you can have somebody else to stand and drop a rock. All these things. Cloud turned, supreme judge. Standing there. Eyes like a flame of fire. Hair white like wool. You see what's happening this year? This year is a record in Trinidad. In the history of Trinidad since Columbus came. With murders and killings. You get that? And mostly is young fellas. Kidnapping was left and right. One is murder, they're going to kidnap him. Then robbery. Drugs. What is happening? Everybody wants to know what is going on with the nation. You think rehabilitation center is the answer? You think social workers recruiting them is the solution? Like the army to tame the legion? Denomination praying day and night. Praying once anymore with double, praying once anymore with something else, praying once I pull it for money, praying once with a false doctrine, strange incense, strange altars. There's only one provided solution. When you come through these doors, what do you see here? What do you see the church as in this place? You know, sometimes we don't see what God sees us. You know, God in His Word set this up. God in His Word, where His will, His thoughts. Think of how much from morning till night they're bombarding the radio with all them voices there on certain songs, confusing the people who are trying to save the nation, who are trying to win a million more in the year 2003. Think of what is happening, friends, among the elect. Think of what you're hearing. Think of how that is progressing. Think of the scriptures that is pointing to. Ezekiel saw that glory move and move and move and move. It left the city, it went to Mount of Olives on the east side, and it stood there, and the glory departed completely. And Nebuchadnezzar burned the city flat, put them in chain like cattle, and marched them to Babylon. Because they rejected the warnings. They rejected the message. In the time of the first coming, when John came and Jesus came warning them, Jesus preached about the Holy Ghost coming to seal up a people, take them away. Nicodemus didn't even know nothing about the new birth. And that was the thing to seal them up before Titus come. Sadducees, they didn't believe in angel. But Jesus pulled a group out of the organization. Is that right? Like Moses called him out in the first Exodus, he called him in the second Exodus. Like Moses bring him to a natural land, he bring him to the Holy Ghost. Is that right? And the elect was sealed up. And then he slaughtered him. The Titus came and do what? Burn the city, destroy the temple, and scatter them in the earth. Now they're going back to build a third temple. Do you see? Ezekiel 9, repeat yourself again. The denominational churches, Sadducees and Pharisees, came together to reject the Messiah message and they give the support to the Roman power. Is that right? And the Roman power brought the crucifixion of the world. Is that happening? Is the church and state going to come together to bring up persecution to the bride? Did he say that? Then that is happening again. Did that happen before in Ezekiel time too? Is the Roman power a type, the anti-type to the Babylonian power? How much more perfect can we get with the scriptures? One little part I was able to get here to you to see. But can you see clearly Ezekiel 9 is verse 7? Can you see Ezekiel 10 is version 8 at 17? Can you see it is the same thing? After they were sealed, the elect was sealed, what happened? Intercession came to an end. The glory left the temple. And coals of fire was thrown upon the city, a sign of judgment. The same thing come on the earth. And we have seen those things take place under this message. Could the Lord come this coming year? Could the door close this coming year? It may not look so to you sitting on your seat right now in this heat. You let them bombs start a fall. You let madmen start a loose chemical weapons. You let that thing that done boiling up in Venezuela and them places there start to get out of hand. You let an interconnected world, with people traveling across the face of the earth, today they're in Los Angeles, tomorrow they're in Paris, next day they're out in Morocco, next day they're down in London, and let disease start to move. And all the thing you thought was movie, you see how real it gets. You know why? Because in the book of Revelation, he gave them power to kill 1/4 part of the earth with famine, with pestilence, with sword and with death. His four severe judgments. Ezekiel 14. Ezekiel 14. Four severe judgments hit shake the land when that sense of fire fell. When that rock falls, friends, you watch and see how them things hit the earth again this time. What a picture. But that's the time we, friends. That's the time we. And I think, from my understanding, I think that some of these things that we have touched on tonight briefly is very, very scripture. You believe in scripture? Yeah. Then all I can say, this is the hour of consecration. This is the hour for us to come to a place. Our sins are put away. Don't have it hanging around you, my friend. Brothers and sisters, tonight, I'm saying this in all sincerity. Ezekiel 9, judgment began where? In the house of God. What did Peter say in 1 Peter 3? Judgment will start where? In the house of God. Read it in Peter also. You know what they did? In the time of Titus, they were in the temple. And said, oh no, in the temple is the house of prayer. He had done tell them to make it a den of thieves and not one stone remain standing. Titus summoned them and starved them, beat one of their children. Then he slaughtered them until there's blood running through the horse's bridle inside there. Do you know in the last days this thing will happen? Remember, they are given over to die, but they wasn't judged without mercy. They had an opportunity to receive truth, but they turned it down. Today, if you would hear his voice, harden your heart. This is not the time to play around and sing. We are coming into a time, friends. I trust you can see the things God has spoken to us about this year. God don't speak to us things just for speaking about it. God is not an idol. Because angels love to pick us up one of these things. Is that right? They took up Enoch. They took up Elijah. Is that right? Took up Jesus. But that cloud was no water vapor cloud. Is that right? So think about it. We are coming down to a time. We're not going to go there with British Airways. We're not going to go there with BW. We have to get a rapture in faith. But the Day of Atonement, the Day of Atonement, when they saw the high priest appeared and the sanctuary was cleansed and the intercession was done, what was the feast that followed? What was the feast that followed? Feast of Tabernacles. Changing and dwelling places. Changing and dwelling places. And what brought them to the Day of Atonement? Feast of Trumpets. Trumpets gathered them together. Trumpets gathered them together. Bring them to the Day of Atonement. Trumpets gather Israel to bring them to the atonement. Then Israel will get our tabernacles to be in the millennium too. When you go to the tabernacles, the Day of Atonement is over. You get that? When is this thing going to come to an end, friends? All I can say is, if these things are the truth, if this is God really revealing these things, if this is really God's presence among us, if we are really God's people, if I'm really a servant of God and you are really elect of God, then we say we are elect of God, servant of God, bride of Christ, messenger of the hour, and God not deal with us? Then the things we are hearing is in the Bible and the message that is to happen. When that's going to happen, aren't we supposed to see it in our midst, in our life? First, not to miss it. Isn't God supposed to reveal it to us to know what is exactly happening? Because we start to raise our children, we start to eat, we start to go to school, we start to wear clothes, we start to work. Is that right? Yet the word is being fulfilled. Enoch was building pyramid, doing the job, construction, raised in a family, had children, but the man was walking with God and was not. Isn't that right? That's right. Then make it yours. Don't let the devil rob you. Don't let him discourage you neither. Don't let him make you feel it's not one of God's own. Let me tell you. If you can receive me and the word I'm preaching to you, because if it's not the word and I'm not the servant, you're all deceived sitting down here. It won't serve you good to come another day. And as much as I believe the message of the prophet, sitting down here believing the message of the prophet and I preaching false doctrine, then you already know what you believe. Because you can't be in the prophet message sitting down with a man preaching false doctrine. But if God give you grace to recognize that that is the truth, and that is the word, and that was part of the plan of God, he would have shepherds here to bring that word, to minister that truth, to perfect a church. And you recognize that, then let's rally together to see this word come to pass. Let's do everything, capitalize on every opportunity. May God help us this year. I don't know where he'll send us. If we have more brothers and sisters laying there, and the time has come now for them to come in this year. Because as these men bring us, when the saints begin to pray, then the Lord will have his way. And the glory of the Lord is coming down. And that's what I'm looking for. Let's stand to our feet. Let the musicians come. What a time, friends. The table is spread and made ready. We'll be coming to that table. We'll be served the elements of bread and wine another time. But as you take that bread in your hand tonight, sitting there, and God give you grace to hear the word, the cleansing of the sanctuary. When will that word come to a completion? The prophet said, we are entering in this age into the cleansing of the sanctuary. When he opened the seals, question and answer in the seals, he said, not long from now, mercy's seat will become judgment seat. Not long from now, he said, mercy seat will become judgment seat. Jesus told the parable of the seventh seal. 10 virgins, midnight cry, wake them up. 5 went in and the door was shut. The message that called them out, wake them up and prepare them, they saw the door close under that message. And others who was called out with them couldn't go in with them, were shut out under that message. Be a faithful Christian. Let your Christianity thunder out in this hour. Put away all loose things. Fix things that need to be fixed. Get your heart centered before God. You are backslider tonight. Lukewarm, fall away. You didn't come here to turn a new leaf tonight. You didn't just come because you're trying a good luck omen to be in church all year's night. This word is not talking about no good luck business, friends. This is the same voice that call your name. Samuel, Samuel. Moses, Moses. Abraham, Abraham. The same voice. Simon, Simon. The same voice that called you made you turn towards God. I trust that now you've come to the place, or is coming to the place, or is desiring to come to the place where your conviction will really get deep of what He done for us. Because when He did that work and said it was finished, every single thing would finish in that work. Once and for all, He paid that price. And on the basis of that work, He went in to make intercession based on His atoning work. And He's come back out in this day, opened the seven seals, and He's gathering us. And we do show the Lord's death till He come. There's a strength there tonight. Because Moses, and they kept that Passover. They ate that unleavened bread. In the end of Moses' message, when death was going through the land, and they were sealed under the blood, and there was no more mercy. There was no more mercy. Melchizedek gave to Abraham. Well, why? He had left from Dan to Beersheba, slaughter the kings, deliver his lost fallen brother, and bring them back with all their possessions. Just what Christ is going to do. When He came in flesh and His body was to be broken, His blood was to be shed, He's going to redeem us, spoil principality and powers, and bring us back with all our possessions back to our original beginning. As we take it tonight, we take this with our understanding that this very redemption that was purchased for us, and this work that is being done, and this redeeming grace. Redemption by blood, redemption by power, redemption in joy and completeness. Because when this work of intercession is finished, we are completely redeemed. Completely redeemed. Let us bow our heads and close our eyes. We don't have much longer to be on this earth. Are you signed? Is there a crying in your heart? The whole creation groan and travail. And we who have the first of the Spirit do groan in ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of the body. We see the abominations in the land, friends. Nations have turned on the gospel. But even before that door swing shut tonight, God's hand is not shut. That hand is stretched out for one who would desire to receive Him. I trust that if there's one without that settled peace in the heart, that blessed assurance here tonight, as this old year passes away and the new year comes in, the old things will pass away and all things will become new for you, making you a new creature in Christ Jesus. I trust that God will shine the light so deep in your heart, it will cause you to rise up and purpose in your heart to put the world behind you and put the cross before you. No turning back tonight. Don't let this time pass you away, friend. This is an opportunity. The word has been too clear tonight in these things. Capitalize upon it. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Are you one that eat the bread and drink the cup and don't show the Lord's death, friends? The one that eat this bread and drink this cup is one that should show forth out of their life the Lord's death. Crucified to this world. Separated completely. Obedient to the will of the Father. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. That's one who eats and drinks but do not show forth the Lord's death. You just eat and drink, not realizing the table that they are upon, the elements of this supper that they are partaking of. And so they eat and drink without the consciousness, without the attitude, and without the fellowship with him. Yeah, just like a heathen. But let a man examine himself. To eat on this table, you have to examine yourself. And so let me eat of that bread and drink of that cup. People who have examined themselves. People who understand the identification of their broken body and the shed blood. People who understand the fellowship with the Lord. The fellowship of this great mystery. The fellowship in this peace offering. Supping with him at his table. Feeding upon Christ. That's the kind of table. That's the kind of feast we have come to. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. This one doesn't just go in the draw, friends. This one could be blessing or damnation. Not discerning the Lord's body. This caused many a weak and sickly among you. Many times you don't realize what follows the unworthy partaking. Weakness, sickness. And many asleep, that's spiritual death. For if we would judge ourselves, see, examining yourself, judging yourself, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. See, if we don't judge ourselves, he judges us. And when he judges us, we are chastened of the Lord. That we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, and you've come together to eat. And tonight we've come together to eat, friends. At this table, to sup with him. If any man, is a tarry one for another, if any man hunger, let him eat at home. Because this is not a table for the hungry, who are thinking about full in the belly. There's a table that reminds us, friends, the great power in this achievement, the great victory that was wrought, and that which can be imparted and released to us, if we can rise up and go on forward in faith to live victoriously, to fulfill his word in this hour. May every head be bowed. All throughout the building, all on the outside, under the sound of this voice. As we stand here and this table in our midst, he has prepared a table for us, even in the presence of our enemies. All hell will try to keep us from this table. Because what is upon this table tells us that sin has been conquered. Death have been conquered. Sickness have been conquered. Principalities and powers have been spoiled. He destroyed him with the power of death. He stripped him of every legal right. When we gather around this table and feed upon this table, there's a wonder working power that operates in us. May you tarry one for the other. May that spirit of love, brotherly love, as I have loved you, so you should love one another. For by this love shall all men know you're my disciples, when you love one another. Think on the things of others. Bear one another's burdens. Put yourself in each other's place. Esteem each other better than your own self. Think of the agony you have to go through. Think of the bitter cup you have to drink. Think of the humiliation he suffered. Yet he endured the cross. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He despised the shame. He sweat with drops of blood. Wrestled in Gethsemane. Treated like a common criminal, humiliated in judgment hall and ridiculed and laughed and scorned and mocked at. Lied upon. Yet he bore it all. He's done before he shall as he opened up his mouth. Giving us an example, friends. Making the way, paying the price to loose us from our chains. How is a sacred thing tonight? How it should make our heart quiver and our soul tremble within us. And we think of the elements upon that table, what it represents. Here we've come to the end. Maybe the next time we'll take it will be in the wedding supper. One of these days we'll take it for the last time. While we have the opportunity tonight, how we should be joined in heart. Our gracious and precious Lord Jesus, dear Lamb of God, as a family in Christ tonight, we come and gather around this table in humility, the deepness of sincerity, O God. Coming, O God, pouring out our souls in gratitude and thanksgiving. As we see, Lord, these elements, these symbols, speaks out to us of your great redeeming love. That with which you fellowship with your own self way before the foundation of the world, when there wasn't even an atom or molecule, when the Lamb was slain in the back part of the mind of God, when love drew salvation plan, when grace found a way to bring it down to mind. Oh, gracious God, how we ask of you tonight, Father, that your great Holy Spirit would just come down and surround your children. We stand here, Lord, with bowed hearts, making confession. Confessing our sins, our shortcomings, our unworthiness. We look with faith, dear God. We look beyond these articles and we see that great work that took place in Calvary's cross. Bring its scenes before us tonight once again, dear Lamb of God. When you tread the winepress alone, like that high priest making an atonement and the day of atonement, there was no man could be in the sanctuary with him. He did it alone. You alone are the author and the finisher of our faith tonight, Father. God, how grateful we are that you considered us in the plan of redemption. As your word unfolds to us and we see the hour we have come to, we know, Lord, it's not many more times like this we would have, because we've come down to the end, Father. But we know, dear God, when we leave this world, next time you said you will drink it with us, the fruit of the vine would be in the Father's kingdom. We look forward to that great communion when the battle is over, Lord. We come to the Father's house. Tonight, Lord, while there's a few more miles, Lord, to travel, Almighty God, we pray that you'd sanctify us. Pray you cleanse us, O God. Dear God, we pray you'd sanctify these elements upon this table, bread and wine made by sanctified hands for the purpose intended here tonight to keep this feast. May your Holy Spirit minister individually to each and every one. May every household represented here and every individual, Father, be under the influence of the Holy Spirit that would lift them up into the great fellowship of this mystery. That we truly can know you in the fellowship of your sufferings, being made conformable to your death and knowing you in the power of your resurrection, Lord. May you grant it, Father. This old year is going out and gone. The new year is coming in, Lord. We gather here to rededicate our lives, Father. Take the communion, Lord, and go out. To be more determined, Lord, to live for you in this coming year. Oh God, as you have let us down this last year and a half in such a way, so close your presence came, so clear you made your word, so powerful was your visitations, such results we saw from your divine direction. God, that it will be increased in our lives, and these things that you promise, we'll be made fit and ready to receive it, Lord. Your Spirit truly can break forth in mighty visitations in our midst, Lord. This great rapturing grace sweeping into our souls, lifting us up, Lord, giving us faith to be changed. Last ones and twos have yet to come in, Lord. You will lead us to find them, O God. May as we dedicate our lives to your service, God, you divide a portion to each and every one, placing them out, Lord, in their respective ministries, in their respective callings, the body under their headship, a unified body fitly joined and compacted together, in union with you, making us co-workers, and see by and through the members of your bride, you finish this work, Father. God, may you grant it tonight. Bless each and every one. Remove all sin and all defilement from us, Father. May you bring your presence that much will reach in our lives. Filled with you with a great surge of the Holy Spirit, Lord. May you grant it, Father. Consecrate us now to your service. Consecrate these elements that would be ministered to the redeemed here. We give you honor and glory tonight. We ask all these blessings upon your people. The family of God, the saints of the household of faith that's gathered in here tonight, them that's connected with us, dear God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask these blessings. Amen. Amen.